Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show podcast. Welcome in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday afternoon here in eastern Iowa as the Hawkeyes, Cyclones, and Panthers all gear up for action tomorrow. We'll get you ready for it here on eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com. Great show for you today, highlighted by a chat with George Kittle coming up at 6:05 tonight, the former Hawkeye tight end on his way to becoming a superstar in the National Football League. He's pretty good now. A lot of people think he can be even bigger. Taking that next step, we'll talk his love of fast food, professional wrestling, and more tonight at 6:05 inside the Big Hour. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com also with us tonight in the third and final hour. Lee Sterling is going to stop by at 4:30 tonight. He's going to help make you some money this weekend at places like the Elite Sportsbook here in Iowa. Lee was 4-1 last week with his free picks. And if his free picks are that good, imagine the ones that you pay for. Love it or leave it in the 5 o'clock hour. Followed by a chat with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom coming up at 5:30. All that and more, it's presented on Fridays by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust member FDIC, our Friday presenting sponsor, and we thank them for their sponsorship. College football to get to. There is a very interesting National League Central race to get to. You didn't walk into the studio thinking we were going to start anywhere other than Green Bay, right?
No, I didn't. I figured that's where we were going to start.
Well, it turns out that maybe we were playing with a little bit of fool's gold for the first 3 weeks of the season, and maybe, as is the custom, Green Bay doesn't have the defense we thought it did. Or Philadelphia is much better than its record indicated going into last night's game.
I'm willing to not overreact after one game about Green Bay's defense. That was a Philadelphia team that absolutely needed to win that game, or else they're looking at their season sort of going up in smoke before it even gets going. And I know that they had some injuries. I think really the one concerning part for Packers fans was the ease at which the Eagles ran the ball. I did not expect that. Jordan Howard ran the ball.
Carving them up like a Thanksgiving turkey. My baseball season is over. My hockey season's pretty much over before it even begins. And now here we are 4 weeks into the NFL season, and I'm feeling that same old sense of malaise again.
Well, if I would have told you before the season that they'd be sitting here at 3-1, you probably would have taken it, right?
I would have taken it. But now you sort of buy in at 3-0, and then 3-1 doesn't feel as good. It's the nature of the beast.
That's true. I watched that game, and unfortunately, once again, one of the biggest takeaways that I had from the game had to do with the NFL and the officiating and that relationship and the new pass interference, or the new rules where you can review pass interference and what's obvious enough to overturn a call. That's just so, it's a joke. It's a flat out joke.
I saw a lot of people, and I was not one of them last night after Aaron Rodgers threw the interception that sealed the deal for the Eagles, saying, hey, wait a minute, I thought everything was subject to review, and that if the booth would have taken a look at that, perhaps they would have discovered a penalty. Again, I was not one of those people, but there were quite a few of them on my timeline on Twitter that were discussing that. Look, a loss is a loss. They had multiple opportunities to step up and stop Philadelphia, and they couldn't do it.
Well, they couldn't do that, and then the goal line play calling and execution was abysmal. That sequence, not before the final, the second to last drive of the game, where they got to the 1 yard line, had four cracks at it, did not attempt a running play one time.
Packers fans, I want to know how you feel about Matt LaFleur today. 319-366-1600. And it's interesting to me because both Matt LaFleur and Matt Nagy in Chicago are getting dinged for their play calling early on in the season. And I've watched almost as much Bears football as I have watched Green Bay this season, and I think it's warranted in both cases. And I'll tell you right now, if this keeps up, Aaron Rodgers is going to open his mouth and there's going to wind up being an issue. Right now, for the most part, I don't think he's said anything too inflammatory as far as second-guessing his head coach, but how do you not run the darn football?
I think on that third down play, they ran an RPO with Rodgers to give him the option to hand the ball off. Rodgers predetermined the read. Instead of handing the ball off, it would have been to Aaron Jones, who would have gotten into the end zone on that play had he handed the ball off. Instead, Rodgers pulled it and threw an incomplete pass to the back left corner of the end zone. But with play calling and a guy like Matt LaFleur, there are going to be times where any young coach, any young football coach, whether you're talking about the college ranks with Lincoln Riley or in the pro ranks with Sean McVay, there are going to be points where you're going to look at them and say, you outsmarted yourself there. You got way, way too cute. And I like to think that with some of these young coaches, they learn from their mistakes. Matt LaFleur should learn from his mistakes. Freddie Kitchens this past Monday night should learn from his mistakes, because it's a tendency of a young coach to get up and down the field and then not get in the red zone or get inside the five and panic. And I think that's exactly what happened last night with Matt LaFleur.
The text line has no sympathy for me, nor do I deserve any. And that's fine by me. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers bringing you the opportunity to put the knife in and twist it at 319-366-1600. Keep that number handy, because coming up today at 525 after Love It or Leave It, you're going to have an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back there next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Bears fans have to be feeling slightly better about things after watching the Packers fall flat on their face last night. And the Vikings fans, even though Green Bay got the better of Minnesota 2 weeks ago, last week, they've got to be feeling better as well. Me, I'm not feeling very good after watching that game last night. However, as a couple people have pointed out on the text line, at least it was an entertaining game.
It was. It was a really good game.
We got a Thursday night game that wasn't a first to 20 wins the game, like a 20-17 final score where everybody's falling asleep on the couch or in their lazy boy. That was a fun game up until the end. And I know somebody, a friend of mine who is big into gambling now that it's legalized in the state of Iowa, who after the Eagles had scored to go up, I think the Packers were something like plus 280 on the money line to win the game at that point, and they were only down a touchdown. And a friend of mine texted me and he said, I'm moving. I'm making my move. And then I was like, well, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. You shouldn't bet against him at home. I think you'd be okay. And they're cutting through the Philadelphia defense on that drive right down the field. And I'm thinking, man, my buddy is going to make a lot of money here. And then Aaron Rodgers throws the interception. And
yes, it was pass interference.
See, if I say that, it comes off as somebody who is just sitting here whining because it's his favorite team.
They had already reviewed one of those. If they review that, don't they call it pass interference? That clearly hindered, was it Mark, who was the intended receiver on that play? I forget. The one early in the game was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. The one late in the game, that was pass interference. And I would think that if they review that, they say, okay, that one was obvious, we're going to overturn it. But had they... I just don't understand why that one wasn't reviewed.
Here are my two takeaways from last night to hyper-localize our discussion of a Thursday night football game. Brian Bulaga is once again dealing with an injured shoulder, which is unfortunate. And I think of where Brian Bulaga would be in the pantheon of former Hawkeye offensive linemen to have gone on to the National Football League if he had stayed completely healthy his entire career. I think he's just shy of Marshall Yanda if he's healthy for his entire career. The problem is he can't stay healthy. And then Alan Lazard made his way onto the field last night. And I tell you, all along, I've been saying this since the preseason, I think he's going to develop a little bit of a chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. I think this is a guy who's going to be able to work his way into that receiver rotation. But the highlight for me last night was going to Lazard on the goal line, and that was a pass interference call. And
yeah, you had Avante Maddox.
You had Maddox wagging his finger in Alan Lazard's face, sort of doing the Dikembe Mutombo, and Alan Lazard with the comedic timing of a genius just points to the flag. If you haven't seen the clip, it's funny. I don't laugh too often watching a football game. That was high comedy to me. The guy's being taunted, and Lazard's like, dude, flag.
And the way that he did it, I know it doesn't necessarily work on the point, just the point. I award him 10 style points for the way that he directed Avante Maddox to that flag.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI all in action tomorrow. The Hawkeyes, by the way, announcing today that the Purdue game has now reached sellout status on October 19th. So if you were planning on going to the homecoming game this year in Iowa City and you hadn't gotten your tickets yet, well, you're out of luck. Now, if you're planning on going to tomorrow's game, you've got all the luck in the world because they still have about 3,000 tickets.
Plenty of good seats available.
Good seats available. I haven't looked ahead at the weather forecast tomorrow. I think...
I've heard some good things.
I think we'll be in the clear. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff, so we'll have Before the Boom coming your way at 9 a.m. on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. By the way, thank you again yesterday for your patience with 107.5 FM as it was down for routine maintenance. I know we had a lot of confused listeners, and we tried our best to let everybody know and remind everybody, but when you normally are accustomed to hearing everything on 107.5 FM, you're not hearing us telling you that we're aware that 107.5 wasn't on. So maintenance is finished, the paint is dry, and we have our 107.5 FM frequency back. 107.5 and 106.3 FM tomorrow, 9 a.m. Before the Boom. On 1600 a.m. at 12:30, we will join up with John Walters and the rest of the Iowa State broadcast booth in Waco, Texas, for Iowa State and Baylor. Cyclone's still about a three-point favorite on the road. It is going to be hot and humid.
I'm interested to see what Lee has to say about that game. I know we're going to check in with him, but will the weather play a factor in the way that people perceive this outcome, or is Iowa State that much better of a team than Baylor to where they should go on the road and take care of business?
Cloudy in the morning, according to Mike and Marengo, as far as the Iowa forecast goes.
I'm seeing a little bit of showers early on, but by 9 o'clock, they're kind of moving out. So by the time people are out tailgating, and by 11 o'clock, only a 35% chance of precipitation.
How much? 35%?
35%.
Huh. I'd say the Packers had a 35% chance of winning that game when the money line was at plus 280 last night, and they didn't do it. 366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line again. The other story that I think we'll get into, especially with Jack Dom coming up, in the 5 o'clock hour. Jack's going to be with us at 5:30. He's kind enough to join us all throughout baseball season. You've got a showdown this weekend between the Cardinals and the Brewers for the NL Central pennant. The problem is those two teams are not playing each other head-to-head. The Brewers are in Colorado at Coors Field playing the Rockies. The Cardinals are at home facing the Cubs for three games, and Joe Maddon has come out and said they're not playing with a full deck this weekend against the Cards, that the A team isn't going to be in the lineup. They've already shut down Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish. Alec Mills is getting the start tonight. Brewers fans are a little chapped about this because they feel it's the equivalent of the Cubs laying down and allowing the Cardinals to waltz to a division title.
I don't think that's true. If the Cardinals somehow lose two of three or lose tonight, it's going to be really embarrassing.
I hate to break this to you, Alex. They're not going to lose tonight. The Cubs will make
it. The reverse jinx is
the Cubs will make it 10 in a row.
But
I'm not, there's nothing to reverse jinx. Whatever, nothing that I can fart out of my lips right now is going to, I hope I can say that, nothing that crosses my lips right now is going to reverse course and get that team in the postseason. They can't make it. So this isn't a, they're going to get slaughtered tonight. And probably they may win tomorrow or
Sunday.
They can
win a game?
I'm going to give them a shot at winning one of their final 13 games this season. But it's a long shot. Maybe the Cardinals, if the Cardinals wrap things up, and what is their magic number over Milwaukee? Is it 1.5?
They have a, yeah, so 1.5.
So
they
it's
have
a 2.
A one
the magic
lead.
Number would be 2, right? A combination of Cardinals wins or Brewers losses. Maybe the Cardinals win tonight and the Brewers lose, and then the party is on and the Budweiser is consumed and they're hungover tomorrow, and Robel Garcia and Victor Caratini and the rest of the C team can go out and somehow squeak out a win at Busch Stadium.
I just don't understand the theory about how Brewers fans would be upset. I get they wanted to win the division.
I did my sports view on this earlier today because the goal of sports is to try to win.
Yeah.
At in every aspect.
And those guys on the field will be trying to win.
But the problem is we've sort of come to accept in all sports, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, that we understand it's sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We know that there are certain teams that aren't trying to win. And while the Cubs may like or they may want to win tonight, I don't think they're trying to win tonight. They're putting a lineup on the field because they have to. I think if you gave them the option to forfeit and lose 9-0, maybe they would go that route. Instead, they're going to go out and probably lose 9-2 with Daniel Hudson on the mound. But that's where the Brewers fans are upset because it's a 162-game season. The irony in this is that Joe Maddon's mantra has always been respect 90, as in you run hard on every foul ball, you respect the game. And when it comes,
they're just going to go out there and they're going to try not to suck.
Hashtag we are good. You guys can pile on all you want.
But
the Brewers fans are chapped, and I think they have a right to be. But Joe Maddon, who is basically, he's carefree. He basically, you know, it's like somebody who's come to grips with their own mortality. Like he knows something the rest of us don't know, although the rest of us all know it. He's managing his final three games in a Cubs uniform this weekend.
Whoa.
But he is so
really
carefree right now that he is basically like, I know the Brewers are mad. I cleaned the quote up last night in the 6 o'clock hour. I know the Brewers are mad. They can be riled up all their fans. They can be riled up all they want to. I got bigger stuff to worry about right now. And he's right. He does. And of course, the minute he is reportedly told Theo Epstein that he needs to know by Monday his future. And I don't think Theo Epstein's going to wait much longer than Sunday night, Sunday afternoon after that last game wraps up to just officially give him the word that, hey, Joe, you can go back to Hazleton, hang out with your mom, have a shot and a beer, and wait for the phone to ring, because the phone is going to ring. And Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic wrote a tremendous piece on basically how the Cubs should have moved on from Joe Maddon last season, that they should have had a different manager this year because the problems had manifested themselves and everybody could see them after last year, and it just became easier to let him ride out the contract. And I retweeted that earlier today. If you're a Cubs fan, or even if you're a baseball fan, I highly recommend reading what Rosenthal wrote, because he lays the blame pretty much on everybody. And hindsight, as he says, is always 20/20, but you could sort of see some of these problems coming down the line, and maybe it would have been better, or the results would have been different had they parted ways after last season, but that's not the case. There are going to be a lot of teams, as Ken Rosenthal notes, who will contemplate doing exactly what the Cubs did to Rick Renteria in the coming weeks, where Rick Renteria was in his first year as manager, looking forward to year number two, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, he's got this young talent. Oh, Joe Maddon's opting out of his contract in Tampa Bay. You're fired. We're hiring Joe Maddon. Maddon's a free agent. He's not getting his contract renewed, a la Tom Davis. If you're the Angels, you fire Brad Ausmus tomorrow if you think you've got a chance at Maddon. Gabe Kapler in Philadelphia, and who knows what other, there could be a mystery team out there that's like, yeah, man, we got a shot at Joe Maddon. See ya. We'll help you pack up. But he's no longer the right fit for the Cubs,
yeah,
and that's why they're moving on.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this. What do you think it is about Joe Maddon? Because you see certain coaches, not just in baseball, coaches and managers, not just in baseball, but across sports, especially in the leagues where play a lot of games, the NBA and the NHL, where it just seems like there's an expiration date. There's going to be a window of success and a drop off. And Joe Maddon, now two different places, that's sort of what it's been.
I think his style in particular only works for so long. It has a very limited shelf life, and it works with a group of primarily young players.
Right.
And then you get the right veterans mixed in around. He's had Ben Zobrist at his last two stops, Tampa and Chicago. And you get these guys to believe that, hey, less is more. He takes a step back. He's not overbearing. You dress up on road trips, or you never know what's in store. You come into the ballpark someday and there's a zoologist in there with a python and a toucan. And I know, you know, people laughed at that stuff because it's hokey, but
if it whatever works,
these guys are, and I know it's, we can sit here and you sort of roll your eyes when you say these guys are in a high stress situation, because they're not in Afghanistan taking bullets. They're out playing a kid's game, but there's a lot at stake for these guys. They're under a lot of pressure personally, professionally. And what Maddon was really good at, especially with these young guys, is getting them to realize that the belief in themselves, that they belong in the big leagues, and that they are playing a kid's game. Relax. There's no pressure. Just go out and play for nine innings, and we've got the talent to win. The problem is that after a couple years, and after they won the World Series in 2016, the front office had this sense of urgency, like, okay, let's not get complacent here with one. The window's closing. You win one, and all of a sudden the window starts to creep down. And I don't think the players ever picked up on the fact that that sense of urgency mattered. And Joe wasn't necessarily driving home that point, because he's sort of a hands-off guy. And that's where things began to spiral out of control for them. So now you take him, and again, my money would be on him landing in San Diego, because it's a perfect mix of the vibe in San Diego, along with the young talent that they have and will have coming up. I think that's where he goes. Philadelphia is another spot. He's from Pennsylvania. He could be home and close to his mom. But I think he's going to have success at wherever his next stop is, and I think 4 years, 5 years later, you're probably going to see the exact same issues because there is a shelf life, and it's not just his managerial style. It's a lot of... I know there are people who are listening to this program right now who work in an office who've had the same boss for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And maybe after 5 years, you used to be motivated when the boss would tell you something, and then you realize, okay, I can see right through him, or you know, I work harder than he does. Whatever your feelings are, sometimes you just need somebody to come in, a new voice, to kickstart things, to hit the reset button. And as Ken Rosenthal pointed out today at The Athletic, maybe the reset button should have been hit at the beginning of the season as opposed to the end of it. 319-366-1600. Plenty more on that to come next week once everything is most likely official. And again, Jack Dom's going to be with us at 5:30 tonight for more baseball discussion. Football is on the minds of everyone. We will get into it in the big hour tonight, 6:05. George Kittle, Rob Howe, and plenty of Hawkeye Blue Raider discussion. Before we get to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, who will hopefully help you make some money this weekend, if you are so inclined, we'll bring Kyle into the studio, our producer Kyle Mann, bringing you big board updates three times a day on the program, courtesy of Alexander Lumber. You can visit them in Iowa City, just probably not during the game tomorrow. They're going to be busy watching it just like the rest of us will be. 420th Street, that's where their location is currently. Or you can visit their interior showroom, Answers by Alexander, on South Gilbert Street.
Des Moines Register executive editor Carol Hunter penned another update to the story that ruled the week, saying that some of the paper's policies that led to Carson King being doxxed are being reviewed and reworked, but doubled down on her assertion that they had no hand in Anheuser-Busch cutting ties with King, although other reports and the timeline presented by King himself seem to contradict that. She also mentioned that the reporter who published the story is no longer with the paper because of his own inappropriate tweets. For King's part, he provided an update that he's now raised more than $1.9 million. That's up from $1.1 at the time of the articles publishing earlier this week, and you can continue to donate until midnight on Monday. Former Hawkeye cornerback Greg Maven was promoted from the Bengals practice squad to the active roster, giving the Hawkeyes 27 players on NFL rosters. That's right in the neighborhood of 10th most in the country. Another one of those former Hawkeyes, Packers lineman Brian Bulaga, left last night's game against the Eagles with a shoulder injury. The Rough Riders are getting their season rolling at the USHL Fall Classic, and after Robbie Newton had a hat trick yesterday to lead a 6-2 victory over Youngstown, they kept the strong start going with a 4-1 victory over Omaha. Newton scored again, as did Tyler Rollwagon, Jack Millar, and Nate Hanley. We've got some high school football action for you tonight after the show. That's going to be Marion hosting Center Point Urbana on the Main and North gyms, followed by the KGYM scoreboard show on all three frequencies. And then tomorrow we get started bright and early with the Big 12 show on the FMs at 8 o'clock, to be followed by our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa and Middle Tennessee. We'll pick up coverage of Iowa State Baylor at 12:30 on the Main gym before kickoff at 2:30. And then number 7 UNI is in enemy territory, taking on number 6 Weber State on the FMs at 6. And then it's going to be a jam-packed Sunday as well, as throughout the day we'll bring you Redskins, Giants, Patriots, Bills, Jags, Broncos, Vikings, Bears, and Cowboys, Saints.
Omaha. It's one of the... I can't hear Omaha without thinking of C.W. McCall and Convoy. Omaha. And if you like country music, you are in for a real treat tonight, because I have a country music themed love it or leave it list for you. 1 through 5. I'll explain. We'll get there. It's coming up at 5:05 tonight. Right now, we'll step aside, take a quick timeout. When we come back, Iowa, about a 23-24-point favorite tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium. Is it too many points for gambling purposes? Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports is with us every Friday for a segment that we like to call Odds and Ends. Is Lee siding with the Hawkeyes or the Blue Raiders? Stick with us to find out.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertine & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Happy Joe's isn't afraid of a tough matchup. They'll put their large pizza up against anybody else in town. Theirs is the biggest. That means they can feed families, fans, or whole teams until they're good and full. Their pizzas are famous, too. They originated the taco pizza, and it's still a fan favorite. Plus, everyone loves Happy Joe's VIP Club. It's easy to sign up, and you'll get exclusive offers and earn points towards a free pizza. Order online today from Happy Joe's 3 Cedar Rapids locations at happyjoescr.com. Delivery or carryout available.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their Bright Side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations, so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great-paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game, and all the smart rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock pairs perfectly with brats, burgers, and barbecue. Next big game, prepare your pregame feast with a side of Smart Rock from Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday, brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can bank with them locally in the corridor in Iowa City or Coralville. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. And we've had people listening to this segment, Odds and Ends, at 4:30 on Fridays who've been going to the bank, thanks to our guest, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, 4-1 last week. All you have to do, listen to Lee's segment. You take that information to the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, and you could have yourself a nice little weekend, right, Lee?
Absolutely. Had a great run so far this year, and just wanted to continue.
Well, as Jerry Reed once sang, when you're hot, you're hot. And we'll see if we can have another great week here. Let's go ahead and start with Iowa, laying a ton on the line at home tomorrow against Middle Tennessee State. 23 points, I've seen it anywhere to 24 and 25 in this neighborhood.
Yeah, and if they're healthy, they could cover a 30-point spread, but they're a little banged up, and that's, you know, a little troublesome. But no one can run on Iowa. All three games, less than 100 rushing yards, and they're taking care of the ball on offense, only one turnover in three games. Turnovers really will do in college teams, and they're plus +5 in turnover ratio. This Middle Tennessee defense has allowed 200 rushing yards in every single game, all three games, and that includes Tennessee. Not the University of Tennessee, that's FCS opponent, Tennessee State. So they're going to have some real problems here. I know Iowa has Michigan and Penn State on deck, but I think they sneak over the number here in the fourth quarter. And the Hawkeyes, you don't want to go against them right now. 13-4-1 against the spread run. Iowa 38-10.
Lee, what about Iowa State? A really big matchup in the Big 12 right out of the gate for the Cyclones. They have to go on the road and play a pretty solid Baylor team in the heat. They're about a 3-point favorite.
Wow. No one's talking about the Cyclones now. Have you noticed that? No one. I mean, nationally, because they lose a game by 1 point, they're off everyone's radar. And this is where I think they're going to do their best work. look at who Baylor has played. Bill Snyder must be scheduling Baylor's first three games, because no one has any idea Baylor's any good playing these three, you know, poor teams. Iowa State at least has played Iowa and been tested. Baylor, a lot of times, they'll win the yardage battle, but I think for them to win this game, they have to play a clean game. They can't turn the ball over one time, more than one time, and they can't get penalized more than 56 yards. And I'm not sure if they can do both. Iowa State on a 25-10 run here the last 35 games, and their run defense, they only allowed 3.3 yards per carry last year. They only lost one of those starters this year, and I just think that they're going to turn Baylor into a one-dimensional team. Give me Iowa State, 30-23.
It's Odds and Ends every Friday at 4:30 with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Let's go back to the Big Ten. ESPN College Game Day going to Lincoln, Nebraska this weekend. A team a lot of people are trying to figure out, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They're getting 17 points at home against a really stout Ohio State team. We had to pick this game yesterday, so I'm interested to see if you and I match up on this.
Which way did you guys go?
Todd and I both went Nebraska because it seemed too obvious with Ohio State.
Here's, if you pick Ohio State, you're getting absolutely no value. They've done everything right. They've scored 53 points on average, and their quarterback has accounted for 19 touchdowns. So it's just, there's no value. You don't buy a stock when it's at its height. You buy it when it's at its low point. And so I just think that Nebraska, they're going to take care of the ball better. 11 turnovers in four games. They got the weapons. Martinez at quarterback, Maurice Washington running back, and even – they got two real good receivers, and they got a tight end that can open up the middle. Jack Stoll right now, tight end, playing incredible football. It was 36-31 last year. I think it's going to be more high scoring. Key is they can't fall behind by two touchdowns. They got to get the crowd into the game. They got to maybe try a trick play like Auburn did last week, get on top early. I think Ohio State wins the game 45-38, but Nebraska covers it easy.
All right, we're all on the same page there, and I have a feeling we may be on the same page on this next Big Ten game as well. Penn State goes to Maryland as about a 6-7 point favorite on the road.
I think Maryland, I don't know if they're the most well-coached team. I'm not in love with Loxley as a head coach, but I think they have some real top-end talent. Josh Jackson, who comes over from Virginia Tech, good quarterback, 8 touchdown passes so far this year. Anthony McFarland Jr., I think he's one of the top 10, 15 running backs in the country. Already 225 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's a threat to go the distance. I mean, look what he did last year to Ohio State. I mean, he's still running. And they got two receivers, 6'3", 6'4", and Demas, and also Daryl Jones. These two guys, tall, rangy receivers, averaging over 18 yards a catch. And the Penn State DBs, all their DBs are under 6 feet. So once you get in the red zone, you can throw a lot of fade routes. It's Penn State's first road game. They're 0-4 the last four road games. Different team on the road than they are at home. Upset of the weekend, Maryland 31-28 over Penn State.
I was waiting for you to say it. The wrong team is favored there. Yeah. We agree with you on that one as well, Lee.
Okay.
Moving to the Big 12, a couple of teams that are people I feel like are really intrigued by at this point are kind of flying under the radar. Oklahoma State is at home against an upstart Kansas State team, and the Cowboys are about a 4-point favorite.
And I think that Oklahoma State, if the situation was right, might be the play here. Here's the problem. They're coming off an absolutely tough game against Texas, and they gave it their all. They had nothing left at the end. And Spencer Sanders is going to be a really good quarterback. The problem here is, they were helped out last week. Texas helped them out with the three fumbles on the punt. So Kansas State, not the most talented team, but so well coached. They were so ready. I loved the game plan against Mississippi State. They were looking for revenge there. They got it. They should have won that game. If they don't muff two punts, they win that game by two or three touchdowns. They have the bye week to game plan. Skylar Thompson got some average receivers at best. If he had some top-end receivers, here's a guy might be throwing for 350 yards a game. So who knows why he was rotating last year and not the full-time starter over Delton. I just think that their running game also strong. They got the the transfer in there. And I just think Kansas State's the right side. Wrong team wins, wrong team's favorite here also. I like Kansas State 31-28 over Oklahoma State.
All right, your game of the week this week for folks to call in and get from you is a Big Ten showdown between Indiana and Michigan State, but I see four letters on the email, G-O-T-Y. You've got your game of the year this week at Paramount Sports.
Well, this is what I'm going to do. I like the Michigan State-Indiana game. Also like the Chiefs game. They're playing at Detroit. I'll give them both games for free. If they want to get both winners on me, I give you five free games. On the show, two more if they call 800-400-9741. Get them on the right track. And then, as you know, I rate my games from 10 to 50 units. We've only had two games above 40 units so far this year. We had 3 weeks ago. We had Oregon Ducks. They were a 23-point favorite. They won 77-6 over Nevada. A couple weeks ago, we had UCF. They demolished Stanford. They won that game easy. I think they were up 38-7 at half and cruised to the win. I've got a game even bigger than those two games. The line's off by three touchdowns. We're 39-14 on these 40-plus unit games the last decade. They want to get it. Just go to ParamountSports.com. You can buy the game individually. You can get what's called Locktober. That's 5 weeks of games through the end of October. A lot of people call it October. I call it Locktober. This is where we go into overdrive. That's just $3.97. So two ways to win, ParamountSports.com or 800-400-9741.
Let's make some money this weekend. Fantastic stuff as always, Lee. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, and you can give him a follow on Twitter at Paramount Sports. And I like the fact that he's with us on Nebraska. We were the
only. I feel better about that game now. I've been crucified for that by certain people.
We were the only two panelists during the pick six yesterday to take the Nebraska Cornhuskers in 17 points. It's either a great pick or it's the greatest pick that we've ever made. And Maryland, the wrong team favorite in that game. Did you agree with me on that one as well? I took Maryland.
I took Penn State on that one.
Okay, so we're divided on that one. I agree with Lee. I think I'll take a stab at Maryland, and I don't have the money line in front of me at Elite Sportsbook, but imagine as a six-point underdog, they may be paying favorably on the money line. I don't know. You and I have discussed Iowa, Middle Tennessee, because it's a lot of points. I think you and I both feel Middle Tennessee can slide in the back door with a touchdown against Iowa's second string or third string late in the game. This is going to be one of those games where if you bet it, you're going to be sweating it. I just have a feeling, much like Iowa's first game of the year against Miami, where whether you got it at 22 or whether you got it at 25 made all the difference between you whether you won or you lost. I think people that are going to be riding Iowa at minus 23, minus 24, they're going to be in for a tight one for most of the day tomorrow.
I liked Lee's reasoning, and I agree with him that if Iowa was healthy, they could cover a 30-point spread in this game. But they're not.
They're not healthy.
They're not healthy. I have a feeling that they're sort of being precautious with certain guys and making sure that they are healthy for the resumption of Big Ten play. I got it right, finally. The resumption of Big Ten play against Michigan next week. And you just wonder what type of game plan is going to go into this from Kirk Ferentz's side. I'm not saying they're looking past anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But you'd have to be naive to think that they game plan Michigan just like they game plan Middle Tennessee.
Look, people who do this for a living or people who take this seriously and try to use it as a way to supplement their income, you look at things like what the schedule looks like. And
right.
I think it would be naive to assume that Iowa isn't sort of peeking ahead to a major Big Ten road trip next week against Michigan. They're going to do enough to win the game. Is it going to be enough to make sure that they put money into the pockets of people who bet on them? That's the big question here, and it's one of the reasons that we have Lee with us every week on Fridays at 4:30. Odds and ends. Again, you can give him a follow on Twitter at Paramount Sports. If you missed the number, you can go back and listen to the podcast. Give him a call. He'll give you a couple more free plays. 4-1 last week in his selections that he gave out for free right here on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We are continuing on a Friday, football to discuss, Iowa State at Baylor tomorrow. You can hear it right here on 1600 AM, beginning with John Walters and the pregame at 12:30. We'll get you ready for Iowa and the Blue Raiders as well on our FM frequencies at 9 a.m. tomorrow with Before the Boom. A lot of football to get through between now and 7 o'clock. A reminder, Hawkeye fans, George Kittle coming up with us tonight at 6:05. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com along with us inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll get to the bottom of George's appearance at a WWE event lately. He wants to be a professional wrestler when his football career is over, and it shows. You can see that when you watch him in these clips that have gone viral on the internet. He certainly has the personality for it, and I don't like to play favorites with any of the guests that we've had on the program. This is probably, what, the third or fourth time I think he's been on with us. He understands the medium. He understands communications. Don't be boring. Be interesting. He is a very much interesting George Kittle, the former Hawkeye tight end, current member of the 49ers, coming up with us tonight at 6:05. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll do sort of a post-mortem on the baseball season. Regular season heads into the final weekend. The Cubs and Cardinals closing things out at Busch Stadium in St. Louis this weekend. Jack Dom with us at 5:30 tonight for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. The Cubs have already let it be known that they are not exactly trying their hardest to beat the Cardinals over the next 3 days. They're going with a lot of players who are bench players. They're resting their regulars. They have nothing to play for other than pride at this point. And that's not enough to motivate a Major League Baseball team. So there you go. I'll give you my free play of the day. The St. Louis Cardinals with Daniel Hudson on the mound, -1.5 runs. Bet it on the run line. They should beat the Cubs today. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We will take a quick timeout. And when you hear us, we'll rejoin you at the KGYM studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, heading toward a 5 o'clock hour. It'll kick off with Love or to Leave It. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM after this.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it, world class, I'm a gutter butter ass.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it, world class, I am.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top, top, I'm gonna rise up.
Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Blast off to the
front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
I'm on the top. I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. Top. I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top.
I'm a lawn guy and proud of it. Pro tip, watch the fall leaves. When that first bad boy drops, boom, get feeding and seeding with Scotts. Lay down Scotts Turf Builder today, and come spring, your lawn will be so thick, green, and strong, neighbors like Steve over there will be mad green with envy.
Hey, sweet lawn, Stevie.
Steve.
Don't be a Steve. Be a lawn guy. Pick up a bag of Scotts Turf Builder today. This is a Scotts yard.
How good are PXG clubs? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. Our customers call them insanely good and say they live up to the hype. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do. Period.
Fridays on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can check them out in Coralville or Iowa City. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, my neighborhood, my bank. Member FDIC. Big news today in the Big Ten coming from the West. And yes, Lincoln is the site of ESPN's College Game Day this week. But Nebraska announcing a $150 million renovation to its football facility, basically a brand new football facility. This is what I found hard to believe about this, because as we know here in eastern Iowa and in the central part of the state with Iowa State, the arms race in college football, the keeping up with the Joneses, the minute that you have a new facility or that you do an upgrade, it's outdated. Nebraska has not had an upgrade to its football facility since 2006. I found that really hard to believe. I know they haven't had a tremendous amount of success over the last decade, but
that is hard to believe. I visited that facility about 5 or 6 years ago. It's pretty spectacular.
Correlation, partly a correlation between their lack of success and the fact that they haven't been pouring money into their facilities?
I think that they had pretty good facilities. I think that they sort of were out in front of it maybe a little bit, and they didn't put a ton of money back into it. And I know that Ndamukong Suh was giving them money to add features to the facility as far as putting iPads and locker rooms. And I don't know. I'm surprised that they hadn't upgraded it in that long, but they did have very, very good facilities when I visited there.
I guess I don't know the definition of major renovations. I'm with you. I didn't think that things have looked all that out of the ordinary in Lincoln
right. When
I've been there. But to have somebody who covers the program say it's the first time since 2006, that's sort of eye-opening. I don't know what $150 million buys you nowadays in college athletics.
At least a new weight room.
It better buy you better than a 4-8 record. I will say that. And this comes from somebody, and Alex and I we're playing with fire, taking Nebraska and 17 points against Ohio State. But as Lee Sterling pointed out, you kind of got to buy low, and you can't get much lower than that performance the Huskers had last weekend in Champaign. Let's see if we can dig up some more details on the Huskers' renovations and bring those to you in the 5 o'clock hour. We need to take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll let you know what's in store for hour number two tonight. Back after this.
Plants capture CO2. What if we could help industrial plants capture it too? Think how we could help lower emissions. More and more scientists think carbon capture is key to reducing CO2 emissions globally. It's one way ExxonMobil is helping industrial plants be more like plants. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835 with our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC and a four-wheel independent suspension. It's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
Sport Clips Haircuts and NASCAR's number 20 driver, Eric Jones. Want to see you at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race in Texas, Sunday, November 3rd. Enter now for your chance to win the ultimate NASCAR race fan experience at sportclips.com/Texas. Meet Eric Jones and win pit passes, hospitality tickets, and more. For the best NASCAR has to offer, enter now at sportclips.com/Texas. No purchase necessary. U.S. only. Age 18 or older. Ends October 4th, 2019. Void where prohibited.
How'd you like to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road? We're going to give you the opportunity to do so tonight. Coming up at 525 Mulligan's, located at 1060 Old Marion Road. You can visit us next Thursday there for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. 4 o'clock hour is behind us. Drive time, driven by Linder Tire, is ahead of us. We'll kick it off at 5:02 with Love It or Leave It. 5:30, Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom will stop by. We will discuss the future of Cubs manager Joe Maddon and then some with Jack. Joe meeting with reporters in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, saying, this is a quote, "I have nothing to lament about this season whatsoever." Yeah, he's not the one who put the roster together. That was the front office, and there's plenty of blame to go around. Whatever the future brings for Joe, he says he's ready for it. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, active today with people chiming in on not only their thoughts about the end of the regular season in MLB, but last night's Thursday night football game between the Packers and the Eagles, and of course, Iowa and Middle Tennessee kicking off tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium. More on that to come. Hour number two is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. This just in, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports wideout Antonio Brown is working on a grievance to recoup some of his lost earnings from the Raiders. Chris Mortensen reported last week Brown will file a grievance against the Patriots. Both teams cut Brown within a two-week period. Eagles corner Avante Maddox is out of the hospital and back in Philadelphia today after he left last night's game against the Packers on a stretcher late in the fourth quarter. Maddox was accidentally hit in the head by teammate Andrew Sendejo. The Eagles won that game last night because the defense held on during two fourth quarter Green Bay drives inside the 5-yard line. ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson didn't like the Packers' play calling.
The four times on the yard line, they didn't get it in. They elected to throw the football, not one run. Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers could have waved the play call off.
Colts linebacker Darius Leonard is out. Wideout T.Y. Hilton is doubtful for Sunday's game against the Raiders. Leonard in the concussion protocol. Hilton has a quad injury.
Coming up Monday, recapping Cowboys Saints and all of the Week 4 action, plus taking a look ahead to Week 4's finale on Monday night. Also, the baseball postseason is here. All that and who won the weekend. Golden Week on Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This Sports Center update is brought to you by Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar, conveniently located in historic Marion Square. Stop in each weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for happy hour, where you can get $1 off all draws and well drinks.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys, catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work, but when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work. at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your work site time and money, which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your work site perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
Cooler weather is around the corner, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday, courtesy of Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can check them out in Coralville or Iowa City. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. The 5 o'clock hour is upon us. The weekend officially here for many of you who are sitting in a parking lot, starting your car and putting the work week in the rearview mirror. 5 o'clock hour is drive time. Brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Make sure you check out that website for special online-only savings, which you can then use at one of their three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Plenty more to get to tonight over the next 2 hours. Make sure you stick around and tune in at 6:05 tonight as NFL star George Kittle will join the program along with Rob Howe inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. George is loving life, and yet he still takes time to join us occasionally here on KGYM. Rob and the two of us will take a pretty deep look at Iowa and Middle Tennessee tomorrow. That's an 11 o'clock kickoff at Kinnick Stadium. Have not seen Stumpy's prediction yet for Iowa and Middle Tennessee. I'll have to comb through the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line to see if I've overlooked that. We couldn't possibly have a show on Friday without Stumpy's prediction for Iowa and Middle Tennessee. Things get much tougher for the Hawkeyes next week as they step back into Big Ten play with a road trip to Ann Arbor. The Wolverines this weekend looking to right the ship after being embarrassed by Wisconsin last week. They have Rutgers at home this week. 27.5-point spread in that game. There are some big ones out there. Wisconsin's favored by 24 over Northwestern. We'll tackle those as part of tomorrow's Before the Boom, which airs on our FM frequencies 107.5 and 106.3. 2 hours prior to kickoff of every Iowa game, home and away. That means 9 a.m. tomorrow for those of you who want to tune in to hear the KGYM crew's thoughts on the Hawkeyes. Jack Dom, Mount Mercy's baseball coach, coming up with us at the bottom of the hour, 5:30 to be exact. Before we chat with Jack, we're going to give you an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. That's on the way in 20 minutes. But first, time for Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since
oh,
you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Todd, we're going to start with you. The race is on.
The race is on. These, by the way, my five Love It or Leave It's all the title of country music songs as a nod to the country music documentary by Ken Burns that recently wrapped up on PBS. If you haven't had a chance, check it out. I don't think you necessarily need to love country music to learn things and enjoy it. If you like music, I think you'll like the country music documentary. The Race is On is an old George Jones song, and he probably had no idea that the Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals in the year 2019 would be fighting to the finish line for a National League Central pennant, but that's the race I'm talking about here, and it is on. Unfortunately, the Cardinals and the Brewers don't get to meet head-to-head to decide it. The Brewers are in Colorado tonight, where they take on the Rockies, and the Cardinals are at home facing a Chicago Cubs team that's limping to the finish line. They've lost 9 in a row, and the hits keep coming because Nicholas Castellanos has been scratched from tonight's lineup. He's got groin tightness. I hate it when that happens. So the already weak Cubs lineup, which is lacking Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, now Nicholas Castellanos is on the bench as well. Again, I'm thinking St. Louis has a pretty good chance of moving one step closer to winning the NL Central pennant, and that is upsetting to Milwaukee Brewers fans who have seen their team rally without Christian Yelich. They've been playing tremendously great team baseball here over the last 3 weeks of the season. They are going to be in the postseason, but the Brewers want a whole heck of a lot more than one game against Steven Strasburg, most likely in Washington, D.C., to decide whether or not their postseason continues on. There's a lot at stake over the next three games. Unfortunately for the Brewers, it's kind of out of their hands, and it's in the hands of not only the Cardinals, but the Cubs, and those two teams are playing each other, and one of them's laying down, which isn't good. So, Brewers fans, you guys are in the postseason, but it's going to take a lot of help, maybe some divine intervention, for an NL Central pennant.
Number two.
Another officiating debacle.
I'm actually going to leave this. Thursday night football last night, the Packers lose to the Philadelphia Eagles 34-27, and there were moments during the course of the game where the officiating seemed to leave you scratching your head. First of all, Derek Barnett should have been absolutely kicked out of the game in the first half for spearing Jamal Williams, which left him in the hospital. Just a completely dirty hit that has no business being in the game of football. But I think what got the spotlight was the first pass interference review of Marquez Valdez-Scantling on Avante Maddox, and then the lack of pass interference review on the game-sealing interception, which I would presume if it was reviewed, it would have been overturned. Here's the problem right now, especially going back to that Marquez Valdez-Scantling play. What is obvious to a one ref is not going to be obvious to another ref. So we have seen far less obvious pass interference calls overturned or implemented because of review this season. And you can look no further than the Packers contest against the Minnesota Vikings, where Stephon Diggs was given a pass interference call after review that was nowhere near obvious to a lot of people. Whereas I thought that the coverage on Marquez Valdez-Scantling was clearly pass interference. Here's why I don't think that this was an officiating debacle, because I don't think this should be left into the hands of the officials. They need to replay this at NFL headquarters like they do in the NHL, where you send it back to one or two people whose job it is to make this determination, so there is some consistency with what is quote-unquote obvious and not. Yes, there will be problems if you do this, but at the very least, you're going to have some consistency, which you don't have with all the different officiating crews around the NFL. So I leave the fact that it was an officiating debacle in and of itself.
Number three.
Jambalaya.
This is an old Hank Williams song. And if you're familiar with Jambalaya, the first line of the song is, "Goodbye, Joe, you gotta go, mio mayo." That was the reference to the Cubs, for those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp. Joe Maddon's going to go down in history as the manager who guided the Cubs to their first World Series in 108 years. He's also not going to be the manager of the Cubs just four seasons after leading them to their first World Series victory in 108 years. It's, I don't want to say a tremendous fall from grace, but the slide has been very noticeable from 2017 to 2018 and to now not making the postseason in 2019. Ken Rosenthal writing at The Athletic earlier today that the Cubs, in hindsight, probably should have eaten the $6 million and paid Joe Maddon to go away last year so that somebody could be on the same page with Theo Epstein. Instead, they decided to ride out the contract and get that final year of Maddon at the helm. They asked him to basically change the way that he manages, and surprise, surprise, when you ask somebody to change the way that they do things and have done things for many, many years, you're not going to get the results that you want in most cases. And I do think that it's time for Joe Maddon and the Cubs to part ways. There's certainly, at least from my aspect, no animosity here. And I think Joe Maddon understands that. He's been around the game of baseball a really long time. We saw him here in Cedar Rapids about 20 years ago, toting around a computer with him on the road when he was a roving instructor with the Angels organization and one of the first guys to use computers and statistics in the minor leagues. It was just becoming prevalent with some major league teams, and Joe was already using that on the minor league side of things. He's a tremendous baseball man. He's a good guy. And he was the right man at the right time, and that time was 2015 when he was hired to replace Rick Renteria. He's no longer the right man at the right time. So, Joe, gotta go. I don't love this, though. I'm going to leave it. He's baseball Ditka in Chicago.
Ditka.
Ditka leads the Bears to a World Super Bowl title in 85, and they were supposed to win after that, and they won, but they never won the big one again. And Mike Ditka is still revered in Chicago, so I don't see any reason why Joe Maddon won't be either.
Number four.
He's got the goods, son.
I'm speaking, of course, of Tyler Goodson, the running back for the Iowa Hawkeyes, a true freshman. Yeah, you saw him running over Greg Eisworth in the third quarter of the Cy-Hawk game. You look at the Iowa Hawkeyes right now, and I think there are a lot of solid players on offense, and I know there's been a lot of chatter about the receiving core and how there are some game breakers there, and they have more talent there than they've had in a long time. I agree they have more talent there than they've had in a long time. I don't see any game breakers, potential game breakers on there other than Amir Smith-Marset, who clearly is used as that in that gadget guy role and now is becoming more of that prominent wide receiver. But I think in that same mold in the running back room is Tyler Goodson. And I remember sitting at a press conference probably, 4 or 5 years ago when Chris White was the running backs coach at Iowa, him talking about Akram Wadley before he had kind of come onto the scene. And he said he just has things that you don't see in your everyday player. You can't coach the things that he has, and we know the speed and the agility and the game-breaking ability that he had, and the adding sort of the power aspect to Goodson, who looks incredibly polished for a freshman running back. He looks like he has all the makings of a star for this team, and I, for one, am excited to see how they use him, because They're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube on this one. He is not going to all of a sudden just play one more game in redshirt. He's got to play, and I think he's going to be playing a prominent role on this team the rest of the year. So I love this.
Number five.
When you're hot, you're hot.
That is a song by one of my all-time favorites, Jerry Reed, and it's a reference to Waco, Texas tomorrow, because it's going to be hot there. And that, to me, is the X factor for Iowa State's game against the Baylor Bears, which you can hear right here on our AM frequency, 1600 AM, beginning at 12:30 when we join up with the Cyclone Radio Network from Waco. John Walters on the call. Temperatures in the 90s, humidity, some bad weather possibly, although nothing to worry about. This is going to be, obviously, both teams are playing in the same conditions. But normally, by September 27th in the state of Iowa, you would have played a game in less than desirable conditions, a hot, muggy Saturday afternoon, right? Iowa State really hasn't had that yet. And so that, to me, is more of an X factor than anything either team can have on the field offensively or defensively. How will Iowa State and Baylor respond to the heat? And the Cyclones are a 3-point favorite in that game. I think Iowa State starts Big 12 playoff with a victory, but don't be surprised if both teams maybe struggle a little bit early on or late in the game. Maybe you see some cramping, some dehydration. It's very important. Keep those, push those fluids. Not that anybody from
Willie
Iowa
Taggart's
State.
Taggart's not coaching this game.
I was waiting for you. Thank you. I opened the door with the hydration remark, and you smiled, and you didn't say anything. I was like, I'm setting you up. Come on in
just
here.
Love it or leave it. This is your time.
Come off the top rope with a Willie Taggart reference. Hydrate. Nobody's going to be blaming hydration, win or lose, but Iowa State, I think, does get the win tomorrow, but the X factor will be how hot it will be in Waco.
Number six.
Run the ball.
I love this, and this was a theme last night in the Thursday night NFL matchup. Once again, going back to the Packers contest against the Eagles. Well, the Eagles successfully did that. They knew that they were going to have a chance. They'd seen something on film that I think maybe Minnesota showed, possibly a little bit of the Denver film, and to a certain extent, something the Bears failed to do against the Packers was try to run the ball. And the Eagles, to their credit, won the game because they were able to establish the run. On the flip side, the Packers had six plays in the fourth quarter, down by one touchdown, inside the five-yard line. They ran the ball one time. It was a four-yard rush by Aaron Jones. The other five plays, you had four incompletions and an interception. As I said, I think there was a combination of things happening last night. Matt LaFleur trusting Aaron Rodgers, why wouldn't you? You have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Aaron Rodgers maybe predetermining a read when he could have handed the ball off for a touchdown on a third down play. That happened as well. But also, Matt LaFleur maybe getting a little bit too cute in the red zone. It happens to young coaches from time to time. You're not entirely confident with what you're doing. You can run it well between the 20s, but when it gets down into the red zone, you tend to overthink things. So I think this was a learning experience. I'm not jumping off of the Packers ship already just after one loss. I think they're going to be fine. But the play calling, the execution, and the lack of even trying to run the ball. If you have four downs from the 1 yard line and you can't run the ball for 1 yard, you really don't deserve to win the game. So I love this.
Number seven.
I like beer.
I like beer. Tom T. Hall, fantastic songwriter, country poet, and I do like beer. I like all types of beer. I like your fancy microbrews, and I like your Busch Lights of the world, too. And there's been so much said and written about Carson King and all of the great work that he's done for the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital, and he'll be in attendance tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium. This is a great story that unfortunately took a detour this week, and we've covered that ad nauseum, and I think to the fullest extent that we possibly can. It's unfortunate. What he said when he was 16 was also unfortunate, and that kind of got glossed over in all of this, but let's take a moment to focus on the fact that he's closing in on $2 million raised for the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital, and you can still donate to his Venmo account, and that will be matched by a number of businesses up through, I believe it's Monday, and his Venmo is Carson-King-25. Any amount of money that you donate gets matched a couple times over. They have put together a concert on Monday in Clive, which is a suburb of Des Moines, and they're trying to raise even more money at the last minute to get this matched. And all of this goes to the Uisted Family Children's Hospital. And it's all because, not because I like beer, but because Carson King likes beer and had it in his mind to make what he thought was just a frivolous sign and got it onto College Game Day when Iowa and Iowa State played a couple weeks ago in Ames. And the next thing you know, he's getting beer money from all over the world, got a couple $1,000s and decides, I don't deserve this. I'm going to give it to kids in need. And that's when the rest of the world answered the bell. It's a great story. Unfortunately, there's a chapter in this entire book that I think people don't necessarily enjoy reading, but it's in there, and we dealt with it, and the story has a happy ending. And the happy ending is going to be whatever the final dollar amount is that's being donated, and then he can go on with the rest of his life. And if he never decides to do anything publicly again and just goes back to being a private citizen, fantastic for him, because how many of us could have possibly made the impact that he's making? Unless you're a multimillionaire. A multimillionaire can write a $2 million check, no big deal. But this is a guy like you or me that's raising $2 million to help sick kids. That's a great story. Love it.
Number 8.
Size discrepancy.
I love this. We'll preview Middle Tennessee and Iowa on Before the Boom tomorrow. Scott, Mark, myself, Todd, Kyle. I think we've had a little bit of trouble getting off the ground with trying to convince you that this is going to be a game. Because I don't think it's going to be. B, the reason that it's not going to be a game is because from the outset, Middle Tennessee is in trouble in the trenches. And I think a lot of people in the Iowa-Iowa State matchup thought that both offensive lines were going to struggle. I thought both offensive lines played much better than expected. But Iowa, offensively, I think they're going to be fine. The front seven for Middle Tennessee is lacking size. They're lacking strength. They're lacking athleticism. But it's even worse for the Blue Raiders on the offensive side of the football. Let me read to you their heights and weights across the offensive line. We'll start with their left tackle, Will Gilchrist. He is a FBS player playing left tackle at 6'2", 276 pounds. Their left guard, Eric Say, is 6'1", 269 pounds. Their center, Cole Kirby, 6'4", 276 pounds. Their right guard, Marcus Greer, is 6'1", 285 pounds. That's smaller than a lot of FCS programs, most of them, actually. And when you go up against a Power 5 team, which Middle Tennessee is going to be doing, and they've done in the past, they struggle because they lack size. And that's just the fact of the matter. So this is going to be a problem for Middle Tennessee. I still think that Asher O'Hara, their quarterback, is going to make some plays. They'll move the ball at times against Iowa's depleted secondary, but they're going to have all kinds of issues blocking A.J. Epenesa and Chauncey Golston and pretty much anybody along that Iowa defensive line.
Number 9.
Funny how time slips away.
It's funny how time slips away, is it not? The baseball season seems like it just got off the ground a couple months ago, and here we are, the final week of the regular season, and with that comes a lot of other things. Hockey season is upon us. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders have already played two games, off to a 2-0 start. They will kick off the home portion of their schedule next Friday against the Team USA developmental program. College football is in full swing for another big week. The NFL is back. Before you know it, the NBA is going to be here. And I'm reminded of this every single day when I walk in the door at night. I was having a conversation with my wife about this last night, about how great it is to walk in the door and have my son be there and so excited to see me every night. And every day when I look at him, I cannot believe how big he's getting. It is funny how time slips away. I mean, the next thing you know, you turn around and it's not April anymore. It's the middle of September and almost October. And it's when you walk down the halls of the store and everything is pumpkin spice. Love it.
Number 10.
Harbaugh's Last Stand.
I love this. We talked about sort of the expiration date of Joe Maddon and how he's not going to be back with the Cubs next season. He's going to go to a new team. There's going to be a run of success, and it's just sort of going to be a roller coaster ride if you are employing Joe Maddon of really good success and then things kind of tapering off. Jim Harbaugh is one of these coaches who falls under this category, but for different reasons than Joe Maddon. Joe Madden's kind of the lighthearted, positive energy guy, and Jim Harbaugh is absolutely the total opposite. I'm not going to get into exactly the finer details of everything that I've heard about that guy, but I'm going to reiterate this. Stanford, he took from a winless program to a BCS bowl. They wanted him gone. The 49ers, after a Super Bowl appearance, wanted to trade him to the Cleveland Browns. Everywhere he goes, it's very clear that he's difficult to work with, and he wears on his players. He's not a player's coach, and it's just tough for them to not kind of see through his BS after a while. I think, based on what I saw in Madison last weekend, it is looking pretty clear that that is starting to happen. Just like you saw with the 49ers, where a couple years later we're looking at them as an 8-8 type team. Michigan, to me, looks like they could be a 7-5, possibly 8-4 team. And I could see him absolutely walking away at the end of this season. And so when I look at it right now, if things continue the way that I believe they will for Michigan, yeah, they'll beat Rutgers. But they're not better than Michigan State. They're not better than Penn State. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble with Iowa. I think Iowa is probably a better team than they are right now. I think Michigan will be looking for a new coach next year.
If you don't love it, leave it.
And it's not going to be Urban Meyer. He's already said that that's not going to happen. We promised you 525. We're 4 minutes off. Close, but no cigar. But we still have that $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, and it's yours. If you're caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600, caller number 6 takes $30 to Mulligan's off our hands and will hopefully use it to join us on Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Happy hour from 3 until 6 every day at Mulligan's. Check them out, 1060 Old Marion Road on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids. We will take a quick timeout. When we return to the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we'll find out who our winner is, get a big board update from Kyle, and chat baseball with Mount Mercy's Jack Dom. Touching All the Bases is next.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I was very comfortable with the straightforward way they presented the numbers.
I'm impressed how long the staff has been there. They truly are my advocates.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco, and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Simplify supper this season. Order Happy Joe's in Cedar Rapids. Happy Joe's has the biggest large pizza in town to fill up the whole fam. And you could save some dough with Happy Joe's hot deals at happyjoescr.com. While you're there, sign up for Happy Joe's VIP Club too for exclusive offers and to earn points towards a free pizza. Go to happyjoescr.com and order your favorite pizza online from Happy Joe's 3 Cedar Rapids locations. Delivery or carryout available.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I like their reputation for taking care of customers before and after the sale.
Toyota of Iowa City always gives me a great deal.
Toyota of Iowa City, we make it easy.
5:33, we welcome you back in, and it looks like we could be in store for a little bit of nasty weather tonight. That's part of the reason why many high schools, including West Branch, moved their Friday football games to Thursday night. But many area teams still playing tonight, and it looks like they're going to be dealing with some weather here sooner rather than later. The showers and storms heading east, featuring small hail and some 35-mile-an-hour wind gusts, as well as pockets of rain, and eastern Iowa will be dealing with that sometime coming up relatively soon, judging by a look out the window and a look at the radar. Jack Dom is going to be with us shortly, his weekly segment Touching All the Bases. John in Cedar Rapids, our winner tonight of a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. And Kyle has joined us in the studio. He's going to get you a second of three big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, as always, presented by Alexander Lumber of Iowa City.
Des Moines Register Executive Editor Carol Hunter penned another update to the story that ruled the week, saying that some of the paper's policies that led to Carson King being doxxed are being reviewed and reworked, but doubled down on her assertion that they had no hand in Anheuser-Busch cutting ties with King, although other reports and the timeline presented by King himself would seem to contradict that. She also mentioned the reporter who published the story is no longer with the paper because of his own inappropriate tweets. For King's part, he provided an update that he's now raised more than $1.9 million. That's up from $1.1 at the time of the article's publishing earlier this week, and you can continue to donate until midnight on Monday. Former Hawkeye cornerback Greg Maben was promoted from the Bengals practice squad to the active roster, giving the Hawkeyes 27 players on NFL rosters, right in the neighborhood of 10th most in the country. Another one of those former Hawkeyes, Packers lineman Brian Bulaga, left last night's game against the Eagles with a shoulder injury. The Rough Riders are getting their season rolling at the USHL Fall Classic, and after Robbie Newton had a hat trick yesterday to lead a 6-2 victory over Youngstown, they kept the strong start going with a 4-1 victory over Omaha. Newton scored again, as did Tyler Rollwagon, Jack Millar, and Nate Hanley. We've got some high school football action for you tonight after the show, and that's going to be Marion hosting Center Point Urbana on all three frequencies, followed by the KGYM Scoreboard Show also on all three frequencies. Then tomorrow we get started bright and early with the Big 12 show on the FMs at 8 o'clock, and that's going to be followed by our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa Middle Tennessee. We'll pick up coverage of Iowa State Baylor at 12:30 on the main gym before kickoff at 2:30, and then number 7 UNI is in enemy territory taking on number 6 Weber State on the FMs at 6. It's going to be a jam-packed Sunday as well, as throughout the day we'll bring you Redskins, Giants, Patriots, Bills, Jags, Broncos, Vikings, Bears, and Cowboys, Saints.
5:36, we'll chat baseball here momentarily with Mount Mercy's Jack Dom. You look like you got something on your mind.
I do. We can finally call this a Friday show because we have Stumpy's prediction.
Uh-oh.
Ask and you shall receive.
Stumpy is weighing in. Has he missed a game yet this year on the spread? I think he probably did.
Do we have
Iowa State
Stumpy Hall of Records somewhere around
he
here?
Usually points out what his record is. I'll have to, I'm assuming that he missed the Iowa-Iowa State game on the spread because it was a one-point game. 2-1 against the spread. He's 3-0 straight up. And Stumpy, our friend and Iowa super fan listener, has Iowa winning tomorrow 41-10. That, my friends, is an Iowa cover.
It's a cover.
Okay. Take it to the books. There's this, you know that scene in at the end of Field of Dreams where it's just cars bumper to bumper with their lights on? That's 380 218 south to Riverside right now. Stumpy's prediction is in, and people are just heading to Riverside to put their money where Stumpy says to put it. 319-366-1600. Careful there. He is 2-1 against the spread. Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom, kind enough to join us all throughout the baseball season for a little segment that we like to call Touching All the Bases on a Friday. And I guess the place to start here with you, Jack, is Joe Maddon and the Cubs. They are limping to the finish line. They're not going to the postseason for the first time in since 2014, and they're not exactly trying to win these final three games against the Cardinals. Any problems with what Joe Maddon is very publicly doing at the moment?
Well, I think if you look at everybody that they're holding back, maybe besides Ben Zobrist, you know, they're injured players. So Javier Baez has been out for weeks. Rizzo has a severely sprained ankle. Bryant has a severely sprained ankle. So it's not like the guys are healthy and he's holding them back. They're actually guys with very bright futures and really nothing to play for right now. So, they're going to throw out an adequate lineup that will definitely battle against the Cardinals. You know, Cole Hamels will throw tomorrow. I believe it's Mills starting tonight. I'm not sure who's starting on Sunday, but the pressure's on the Cardinals. So don't be surprised. It's, they'll put up a battle here and the Cardinals are going to have a little pressure on them. They're trying to hold off the Brewers who are, over the last few weeks are one of the best stories in baseball, going 9-1 over the last 10, with Yelich being out, they're playing outstanding baseball. So there's some pressure on the Cardinals. So anything can still happen.
You mentioned the Brewers. How are they doing this? Is this a classic example of rallying around adversity?
I think without a doubt. And we don't have to look any farther than our football coach here at the University of Iowa, the next man in, scenario that you constantly hear coming out of Iowa City. And they kind of rallied around Christian Yelich. They've got some veteran players. They've had success over the last couple of years. And yet they still have not won the World Series. They're still, every one of those players is extremely hungry. They brought in guys that are probably overachieving. A guy like Drew Pomeranz in the coming out of the pen is having a phenomenal year, taking some pressure, or last month taking some pressure off of the relief staff. And it is very impressive with what they're doing right now. But you know what? When you play free and easy, and you feel like actually losing Christian Yelich might have taken some pressure off of the Brewers, if that makes sense, where nobody expected them to play well. Everybody wrote them off, and they said, what the heck, let's just go out and play the game. And they're playing the game with nothing to lose. You look at the Cubs, really all year long, they're playing with the weight of what's going to happen to Joe Maddon. There was just some undue pressure on the Cubs that you felt just a heaviness throughout the entire season. And right now the Brewers aren't playing with that. The Cardinals have had the pressure to try to get back to the postseason, but once they started putting together a record second half of the season, they're flowing right into the playoffs right now.
Well, speaking of pressure, are the Cardinals feeling any tonight? I'd be feeling pretty good if I were Mike Schilt. Yeah. And the Cardinals.
Well, I think they're feeling good, but there's going to be pressure on them without a doubt because of the Brewers right behind them. Everybody, on the outside, people are saying the Cubs aren't playing Baez, they're not playing Bryant, they're not playing Rizzo, and, the Cardinals should win. And honestly, it's one of those where, everybody's going to bet the Cardinals, but don't be surprised if also they do feel some pressure. The biggest thing that the Cardinals have going for them is they know the Cubs have lost 9 in a row. They know the Cubs can't win a close game right now, and the Cubs are questioning themselves. So they have the confidence of what happened over last weekend. But there is definitely still a little bit of pressure just because the Brewers are breathing down their neck right now. So even though they know they're in the playoffs, they still want to win that division.
When you look at the Cubs and them going into the offseason, we've talked all along about how the ownership doesn't have a lot of money to spend or is not going to spend money. How can they better this roster? Because all the focus is going to be on who's the manager, but can they better this roster?
Well, they need to. They need to make a couple of changes with the front line guys, and it's really, they're in no different situation than they were a year ago. The biggest difference that they have right now is that Joe Maddon's probably not going to be back. But as far as the roster for the Cubs, last year everybody was basically saying, hey, they need to make some moves to get over the hump. They've got all the players that have been together for a while, and they're all playing for their contract. They need to move one or two guys and see what happens. Who will that be? That's going to be an interesting offseason for the Cubs.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom with us at one of the final times this season. We'll keep you on through the postseason, a postseason that, as we mentioned, will not feature the Cubs at this point. As you take a look at the teams that are going to be a part of the mix in the postseason, anybody stand out to you right now as far as the way they're playing ball?
I just think the Nationals are dangerous with that pitching staff. They're going to match up very well against anybody. If they can get through the wild card game, the Nationals are the team that scares me. And also from an offensive standpoint, if you remember that series that the Cubs had with the Nationals back, I'd say about 2 months ago, and Joe Maddon mentioned the offense, how they're being very unselfish. They're moving the baseball. They're doing the little things. That's a team that just kind of sticks out to me is the Nationals number one because of the pitching staff, but then also their offense. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. They steal bases, they bunt, they do all those little things that when you look back at the previous two winners of the World Series, if it's Houston or Boston, they put the ball in play a little more than everybody else. They dug themselves such a big hole at the beginning of the year. Everybody had written them off. They had Davey Martinez fired. And now all of a sudden, look where they're at. And so it's almost like they always go into the playoffs with pressure and they've underachieved. I think this year by being, I think it was like 12 games out at one time, now all of a sudden they're in it. They've got a new life, and I think the pressure's off them, and you're going to see them play very good baseball.
When you look at the American League and the season overall that the Minnesota Twins have had, they're going to probably finish with 100 wins. They've won the AL Central, over 300 home runs. Just how impressive has this year been for that team?
I tell you what, they answer the bell anytime you have a question about what's going to happen with Minnesota. I think that's the biggest thing. When the most obvious one, of course, is when Cleveland made their run at them, and now unfortunately Cleveland, they hit a team that we really got to pay attention to next year, the Chicago White Sox. Watching them play, they're a lot of fun right now, and a very talented group. But getting back to Minnesota, they're a group that just believes that they're going to win, and they didn't panic anytime things go wrong or they lose some of their top players to injuries. They're a very, very steady team. They don't have a big weakness at all, and they just play good, solid baseball. And then they hit the home runs, but they can also swing for average and put the ball in play. So I don't know where all these home runs came from. It's nothing that at the beginning of the year everyone said, hey, watch out for Minnesota. They're going to be a power-hitting team. They're going to be like the New York Yankees. Nobody saw that coming, but it is impressive with what they've been able to do. A couple of kind of quiet acquisitions, in the middle of the season, which has helped their pitching, and so it's been very impressive.
Jack, we've talked a lot about one manager in particular who's going to be moving on to greener pastures. How about Clint Hurdle coming back in Pittsburgh? Is that a big surprise to you that the Pirates seem to be willing to stay the course there with him?
You know what? There's something about Clint Hurdle. You look how long the longevity he's had. When he was with the Colorado Rockies, and and also with the Pittsburgh Pirates now. He does things right. The players like him. He gets them to play hard. They're not going to reach 70 wins, I don't think, this year. A lot of people had high expectations for him. So that was one of the guys, I think, when you look at what managers would be on the potential chopping block, I think Clint Hurdle is one of the guys that you would have thought about. But obviously, they absolutely love him there. It was the same way in Colorado when you thought, maybe his tenure would be coming to an end. But he's got something about him. The players like him. He deals with the front office. The new wave stuff that's in there as far as the stats and how you play defensively, he listens. So he doesn't really ruffle very many feathers, but yet he's still got a toughness about him. And so it's very impressive. And it was a little surprising to me, but obviously they believe in what he can do for that organization. They got some good young players. And, they're going to – don't be surprised if they make a move or two in the offseason to try to get themselves in the top half and make a run at a wild card next year.
Let's move on to another manager you know very well. Did you catch the moment with Scott Servais pulling Felix Hernandez last night for his final appearance at Safeco Field?
Yeah, you know what, I did. I just saw it on the highlights, of course, but what a classy move by Scott. King Felix out there has meant so much to Seattle, and I know he's not going to be back. He's on the backside of his career right now, but that was a very classy move, and I'm sure something that he was hoping he'd be able to do. You never know what's going to happen during a game if you're going to be able to do that. But it's just like a basketball coach trying to get somebody off the field, off the court, when you a substitution. But it's not that easy in a baseball game. And it was a class move, and the organization did a phenomenal job. And how about those fans in Seattle? What a great environment. And then to see King Felix go up in the stands and celebrate with the fans who've been behind him from day one. That's the neat thing about baseball. That's the neat thing about baseball in Seattle and baseball in some of the smaller towns. And look at cities, I should say. But look at also Ichiro came back just a couple weeks ago, and they had his night. And so there was a lot of celebration this year, a couple big deals, even though it was a very, very down season, which was anticipated in Seattle. So hopefully they got better days ahead of you. The one thing you know about Seattle is DePoto will probably make about 20 trades this offseason and see what they have next year when spring training starts. Or I should say when spring training finishes, because they'll probably make two or three moves in spring training too.
Jack, before we let you go, people talk all the time about baseball records that we may never see fall. Ronald Acuna Jr. is not going to play the final three games of the regular season for the Braves. He's three stolen bases shy of becoming the fifth member of baseball's 40-40 club. Given the fact that stolen bases are less prevalent in today's game, do you think we'll ever have anybody joining the ranks of Jose Canseco, Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds, and Alfonso Soriano?
Well, you know what? I think you just spoke of the guy that could do it. And, they're right now, they don't want to get him injured heading into the playoffs. And I give him credit. You look at the situation last night with the Texas Rangers, where all of a sudden there was a pop-up when Mike Minor was on the hill and he's yelling at the first baseman to let it drop because he wanted to be a guy that could get the 200 strikeouts, and ultimately he got it. But Acuna, with what he's done, I'm a little bit surprised that he's not in the lineup where all of a sudden I thought he would try to get that record. But you know what? We talk about selflessness all the time. We talk about the bigger picture, and they're all about playoffs right now. They don't want to get him hurt. And that's an impressive deal. But I think he's a guy that could definitely do that. And, if they're still in the playoff race right now or battling for a wild card, he'd be out there running and maybe getting that record. So don't be surprised if he gets that in the next year or two. I think you're going to start seeing stolen bases come back to play here in the next 2 to 3 years. Everything is cyclical. And I think you're going to see some teams who all of a sudden get tired of all the strikeouts and just waiting for the big inning, they're going to try to manufacture some runs. So it will, somebody will do it. Is it going to be in the next couple of years? If it is, you know, Cunha will be the guy. But there will be somebody that will get that record, I believe.
Jack, great stuff as always. And we'll be talking postseason baseball with you next week when we chat on Friday. Thanks a lot.
That sounds great, guys. And go Hawkeyes.
5:52, we will take a quick timeout. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is here. He'll be joining us in the 6 o'clock hour, along with former Hawkeye tight end George Kittle, who is back in town, so I hear, for the weekend showdown between Iowa and Middle Tennessee. We're chatting with George tonight at 6:05 here on the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on Fridays. The 5 o'clock hour is Drive Time, brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Check them out online for special website-only savings, which you can then turn into savings at Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City's Linder Tire locations. Back with more after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Fieldhouse First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food. Stay for the sports. Fieldhouse First Avenue. Cedar Rapids.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with Progressive Box.
I wrote this next song for a gal from Cheyenne. Should never have told her how Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats. She said if they could love her pooch as much as she did, then so could I. Well, I couldn't. This next song's called Cat Person. It was a rough, rough night in Wyoming. The cat was out of the bag.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to 7-Eleven and get Ageless Male Tonight.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, oh.
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
5:56. Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday afternoon evening that's about to get a little hairy weather-wise. Looking at the radar, if you're out and about, we got some storms coming our way, and depending on where you're at in eastern Iowa, you may already be dealing with them, but we'll do our best to keep you abreast of any developments. The 6 o'clock hour is right around the corner. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is with us in the studio. He'll be with us along with former Hawkeye tight end, current member of the San Francisco 49ers, and future professional wrestling star George Kittle, who is going to be our guest inside the big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement tonight. Fridays on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented in their entirety by Two Rivers Bank and Trust in Iowa City and Coralville, my neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust member, FDIC. A lot more to come, especially focusing on Iowa and Middle Tennessee. Iowa State's in action tomorrow as well. The Cyclones will be in Waco to take on Baylor. UNI travels west to Ogden, Utah to face Weber State. We previewed that with Gary Rima earlier in the week. We'll bring Rob on a little early here. We've got about a minute and a half here. But you and Alex were just discussing the fact that physically, this is a little bit of a mismatch tomorrow between Iowa and MTSU.
Yeah, it's not a good matchup for the Blue Dragons or whatever their name is.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on another radio show this week. Am I allowed to do that? I guess I am.
Yeah, you're good.
But
we don't own you.
Okay. But yeah, I'm not giving Middle Tennessee State University the respect maybe it deserves. And I'm sorry for that for any of the MTSU fans out there.
Well, if word gets back to the middle part of Tennessee Holler, they're going to be pretty upset at you.
You've been to this place, right?
Well, I passed through. I never stopped the car. It's probably about 35 minutes or so southeast of Nashville.
So a suburb. Would you call it a suburb of Nashville or too little?
It's a little further than that.
Okay.
Yeah. A little further than that, and on the way between Nashville and the Jack Daniel's distillery in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And you zip right through there, and they're very proud of their Blue Raiders, and we'll see what they have in store tomorrow. We'll dive a little deeper coming up after we chat with George Kittle. He's going to be with us next at 6:05, and then about 6:25 we'll turn our attention to Iowa and Middle Tennessee tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium. The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, is right around the corner. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com and former Hawkeye George Kittle next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center. I'm John Ryder. Wide receiver Antonio Brown is working on a potential grievance to recoup lost earnings from the Raiders, reports ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Brown lost out on $30 million in guaranteed money when the Raiders cut him earlier this month, and the Players Association is examining various scenarios to try to return the money to the former All-Pro. Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford questionable for Sunday's game against the Chiefs with a hip injury. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon is traveling with the team to Miami. And LA head coach Anthony Lynn says there is a chance Gordon might play. He officially ended his 64-day holdout yesterday. Packers running back Jamal Williams has been released from the hospital. Last night, Williams was carted off the field after taking a hard hit in their loss to the Eagles. And wideout Devontae Adams missed most of the fourth quarter with turf toe. Aaron Rodgers throwing a game-ending interception in the end zone on second and goal. ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson on that final play.
Devontae Adams was not on the field. He missed both of those red zone possessions in the second half. And it's one of those deals where, again, Aaron Rodgers tried to drill a ball in there. He got kind of fooled with the defender in the back there playing a different position than what he thought. He thought he can go there. It didn't happen. This is like a play that happened in Seattle against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl at the end. It's sort of the same play where there was a pick underneath. The ball just ricocheted off in his interception by the Eagles.
Another NFL news, Colts All-Pro linebacker Darius Leonard ruled out for Sunday's game against the Raiders. He's coming back from a concussion. Nationals named Max Scherzer their starter for Tuesday's NL wildcard game against either Milwaukee or St. Louis.
It's the final weekend of baseball's regular season, and the Cubs will spend it in St. Louis facing the Cardinals. Today at 7:30 Eastern, tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern, and Sunday at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Just hours after clinching their first AL Central championship since 2010, a quick turnaround for the Minnesota Twins, looking to sweep this three-game series with the Tigers, a day game at Comerica Park, and the Twins really piecing together kind of a makeshift lineup looking for that Game 3 win. Devin Smeltzer starting, and he got some early run support. Twins led 1-0 on an Ian Miller RBI single, his first big league hit, first major league RBI, and the Twins had the early lead. But then they were down 3-2 until they rallied for a big fifth inning. They would tie things up on a Williams Astudillo RBI single at 3, and they were far from done with J.K. facing the starter, Jordan Zimmermann.
That's well-stroked right center field. That's not going to be caught. That's off the bat of J.K. Here comes a rise to score. Here comes Astudillo chugging around third base. He'll score. Throw into third base. It's a triple by Jake Cave and driving in two more.
In all, the Twins batted 9 in a 4-run fifth inning and led 5-3 at that point, and they would break things open late. Home runs from Jonathan Scope and Williams Astudillo, part of the offense late. Twins go on to blow out the Tigers 10-4 to sweep this three-game series. Speaking of the home runs, Scope's blast is 23rd, but also the 300th this season for the Minnesota Twins. Astudillo went deep the following inning. So 301 for the Twins, more than any other team in baseball history, and two more than the Yankees, who were off on Thursday. So that is worth watching over the weekend. Offensively, Astudillo, his first career four-hit game, he scored 4 runs. Ian Miller, a couple hits as well. And the Twins enjoy the victory on Thursday. 99-60, the only Twins team that has won more. The 1965 American League champion Twins, who finished with 102 wins. Twins could match that if they take all three in Missouri. But the final score from Thursday, Twins win their 99th game, sweep the Tigers 10-4 in Detroit. Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Can you feel it? Football season is upon us. Whether you're road tripping to the game or throwing around the pigskin with your pals, you want to make the most of it. So make the most of it with Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. It's kind of like an offensive lineman for your engine. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
6:05, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. The 6 o'clock hour, the big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his staff have been doing fantastic work on Highway 1 West in Iowa City for the last 15 years. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us to help preview tomorrow's Iowa-Middle Tennessee game at Kinnick Stadium. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff. We'll get into that coming up in just a few minutes. We anticipate having former Hawkeye tight end George Kittle with us as well. Who knows what he's up to tonight? Probably hanging out in a movie theater or something, or going to get Panda Express. He's an eccentric dude.
Yeah, he told me earlier this week. Did you mention he's back because they're on bye week?
Yes, I did. I've noticed on social media a couple people say they have spotted him around Iowa City, and we look forward to chatting with him. He's living his best life right now. He's making a ton of money in the NFL. He's hanging out at WWE events, dancing with the Tori Ewan, and trying to, I'm sure, work his way into the business a little bit further. But and in the meantime, until he goes full Gronk and decides to retire at a young age, he's fitting in very nicely with the San Francisco 49ers. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that number to reach out to us here with any thoughts or concerns about Iowa and Middle Tennessee tomorrow. We will, as a KGYM staff, sans Rob, take a deeper dive into that contest tomorrow at 9 a.m. on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, or Before the Boom, Hawkeye pregame show, 2 hours before every Iowa game, home and away, Before the Boom comes your way. And Iowa, about a 24-25-point favorite over Middle Tennessee. Again, we'll get into the particulars on this matchup coming up in about 15 minutes or so after we chat with George. But this does look like a mismatch on paper, and it's going to look like a mismatch on turf as well when these two teams line up with one another. Lots more to get to on the program. Local programming, by the way, will resume on Monday with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes at 3 o'clock. They are presented daily by Third Base Brewery, just like KGYM. Third Base Brewery, proud to be locally owned and operated here in Cedar Rapids, a great place to catch the game or just grab a drink. And we appreciate their sponsorship of everything here at KGYM. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. And happy to have Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com along with our next guest. It's been a while since we've chatted with him. George Kittle, the former Hawkeye tight end, who is now a member of the San Francisco 49ers. And George, I think it's safe to say, and I've been describing this all week long, you are living your best life right now. What is it like to be George Kittle at the moment?
First off, thank you for having me on. It's a blast to be back. What's it like being me right now? I'm honestly just being myself. And, you know, going to WWE events, you know, winning football games and, you know, having fun along the way, kind of what I've always done. And people may notice a little bit more now, but it's all right. I'm just going to keep being me and keep enjoying myself.
What's it like being best friends with The Rock?
Wow. I don't know if I've woken up yet. I think it's still a dream. I feel like a little kid. It's pretty cool. He followed me, too, so I'm not really sure if that's real yet. But it's pretty awesome.
George, do you ever pinch yourself and say, hey, this is almost surreal? You know, I remember calling you the day that Iowa offered and you committed, and you were just kind of a kid just happy to be going to college and playing Power 5 football. And now, you know, you're an all-pro. You're getting a lot of run. I've heard you on national shows, things like that. I guess, is it surreal that this is going on in your life?
Yes, you know. I mean, it's definitely something. It's something that you know, it's been a goal of mine. You know, playing the NFL, and I've always wanted to, you know, try to be one of the best players in my position. And so that stuff going on is those are my goals. But you know, everything else that's kind of come along with it. Yeah, it is kind of surreal, and there are times I have to pinch myself, but. You know, at the same time, you know, I wake up every single day and I'm blessed beyond belief that I get to, you know, I play football in California for a professional football team, let alone San Francisco 49ers, a fantastic organization. And I get to do what I've always dreamed of doing. So, yeah, I sometimes pinch myself, but it's also at the same time, I know how hard I work to get here and how much harder I have to work to keep going, you know, up. And so that, you know, I just kind of think of that and it kind of grounds me pretty quickly. And I get back on the horse and I keep going to work.
It's pretty well known that when you first got to Iowa City, you were more interested in having a good time and living that college life rather than immersing yourself and being a football player. When did the light bulb go on for you? Was there a certain instance where you just decided, hey, I got to dedicate myself to this? Or what happened that the switch got flipped?
I think one of the biggest the switches was the bowl prep for the Tax Slayer Bowl. I got a high ankle sprain. I was having a good bowl camp, but you know, all I was playing was special teams. Wasn't really playing anything else. I had like a couple snaps in offense, so I was lucky. But bowl prep, I got hurt and I just kind of was sitting there and I was watching, you know, other guys practice, you know, and realizing that my opportunity was slipping by. So after that bowl game, I realized I had to do something different. And then we came back for winter workouts after the bowl game. And one of the first team meetings we had, it was Coach Farron started talking about Pat Anger and how he didn't really play his first 2.5 years. And then out of the blue, he said that he focused more on, drinking and fighting people in downtown Iowa City. And that, after that, he didn't like not playing. And so he changed everything up. And Pat was working with the strength team at the time and our strength staff. And so I approached him, Ron, I was asking him about the situation. He says, I was just tired of not playing, and I knew I was a really good football player. And so I wanted to get on the field, and I wanted to, earn my stripes, and I wanted to, play with that Tigerhawk in my head, and I want to have a meaningful role. And so that was the light switch. And I was like, well, if he can do it, I could definitely do it. And I changed up some, my decision-making and decided what was the most important thing. And that's kind of got me where I am today.
You mentioned the work that you've put in. Is there a way to describe how much work you've put into being the blocker that you are today?
Well, a couple things going to that. First being, I think I did offensive line drills my entire life growing up because my dad played offensive line at Iowa. So that was like the first thing he introduced me to was run blocking. So I thank him for that. But my first summer workout at Iowa, Coach Doyle said that you'll never play tight end in the Big Ten unless you can run block. And that is still stuck with me today. And then thirdly on that, I pride myself in my run blocking ability because I feel like run blocking, it's a lot of it is effort. And just whether you want to or not, and whether you want to plant some on his back. And, there's fantastic players in the NFL that they're very difficult to run block. Like Khalil Mack's pretty difficult sometimes. He's pretty good. But I completely grade my entire game on the run game. And so I have a lot of pride in it. And a lot of that stems from my father, but a lot of that stems from Iowa as well. And so it's just something I focus on as much as I can because I feel like if I can dominate in the run game, then I can definitely get open on passes.
Do you feel like teams have adjusted to or adjusted how they defend you this year, George?
Oh, a little bit maybe. There's only so much you can do. I found myself, it was pretty funny. It was a play against the Bengals that I had four guys around me. They dropped Marquise Goodwin to go cover me, and Marquise had a 50-yard touchdown. So, I don't really get too upset about that. If I'm a distraction and our other guys we have some really good wide receivers that can get open and make plays. So if I'm getting double covered somewhere, someone else is on an island, and that person, I fully expect them to make a play. And then, when I had my opportunity, I fully expect myself to make that play. So the defenses, might be a little bit different here and there, but I just play what I see, and I just try to take advantage of the opportunity.
You guys are 3-0 going into the bye week. How much better does this start feel than kind of the way things went last year where there were injuries, Jimmy went down, and things just sort of unraveled a little bit?
Well, definitely. Last year we started off in Minnesota, and we had a lot of missed opportunities there, and we think we should have won that game. I know I had a drop. I know Jimmy overthrew me once in the end zone. Like, we had a couple missed plays on D. So we felt like that one got away from us, and we were kind of in a similar situation in Tampa. We were kind of missing some plays, weren't playing our best football on offense especially. But we came through and got that win unlike we did the year before, and it just kind of puts you on the right track. And the energy in the building, especially after we won in Cincinnati, come home to a home opener, 2-0 after that two good wins on the road. We just got in, we got good vibes, good energy, and we had great people in place to lead this team forward. And so it's just been a really fun ride so far. And kind of disappointed we have a bye week because I'd love to be playing football on Sunday.
Former Hawkeye tight end George Kittle with us on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. What are some of the must things to do when you come back to Iowa City?
Oh, wow. I lived in Iowa City for, including college, 10 years. So I'm kind of a hometown guy here. Kinnick Stadium is my depth. The facility is always usually my first stop when I get back to Iowa. Just kind of reminds me where I came from. And whenever I walk in that weight room, I just remember all the hours I spent in there. So it kind of remotivates me. But definitely the state, going to the facility in Kinnick are two of my top things. Other than that, I have a lot of friends that still live here. So I just try to be able to spend a little bit of time with as many people as I can because, you know, with my job, I don't really have too much free time, especially in the fall. So I just like, you know, seeing all my friends that helped me get to where I am today.
George, we see, building on that, we see a lot of, you know, photos on social media of guys, you know, former Hawkeyes, when you guys play against each other and things like that. What's that fraternity like? What's it like running into other Hawkeye alums when you know, when you're playing in the NFL?
Oh, it's so much fun. Especially, like, we spent a week in Denver, so I got to, you know, see Casey Kreider, Josie, Noah, and yeah, that was really fun. Get a catch up and just kind of get a BS a little bit, talk about college and, you know, the dumb stuff we used to do. So that's pretty fun. But also, you know, you get to talk to Josie about you know, his future. He just bought a house in Denver. You know, he's married and all that stuff. It's kind of fun just to see how guys have grown since college, because now I try to keep up with as many guys as I can. Like I said, it's kind of hard, but when you get to see guys and spend a couple of days with them, it's really fun. And I got to spend a long time talking to, you know, when I was out there. So I'm disappointed I don't get to play Detroit, because I'd love to do that. But, you know, it's really fun to be able to see those guys. And, hey, you know, I went to college with them, and they know the hard work that it takes.
Now, Rob asked about the Iowa fraternity. Is there a tight end fraternity? Because there seems like a brand that you, and now I know Rob is – Rob Gronkowski's retired, and Travis are kind of building a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt like I love the tight end position. I respect it so much because it's kind of a position where you have to, like, I don't know. This a fun thing. I asked Jimmy G about this. I said, like, how much of, you know, the playbook do you have to know? And he goes, well, I have to know 100% of everything that happens on every single pass play, from every route to every protection, to the slides, to the formations, all that stuff. It's like, when I think about a run play, like, I don't need to know about anyone's blocking. I just need to know which way I turn to hand the ball off. Right. So, like, a quarter. So he literally doesn't really need to know too much about the run game. But, you know, that's just, for example, like, so he doesn't have to memorize where the guard and the tackle are doubling up to the front side back. Like, he doesn't need to know that. But when you have, like, for a tight end, you have to know, you know, your route. And, you know, sometimes when you're two tight end personnel routes, you got to know those guys' routes. But you also know almost everything in the run game, too. So it's a position that I've respected for a long time. And so, yeah, I try to make it a fraternity. Like, I made it a goal this year. I'm trying to get, like, as many tight end jerseys as I can. I got O.J. Howard's this first game, and I got Tyler Eifert's from the Bengals, which is really fun for me because he's been a player I've admired from afar for a long time. So it's I just love the tight end position. And you know, hopefully someday I can get one of Gronk's jerseys as well.
Well, speaking of tight ends, Scott Van Pelt tried to pin you down on SportsCenter a while ago, making you choose between TJ and Noah, and you tried to get around by combining the two. So I'm going to ask you, who sounds like they would be the better tight end, TJ Fant or Noah Hawkinson?
Noah Hawkinson sounds better. It rolls off the tongue a little bit better. I feel like he's got a good NFL name, and he would ball out.
George, what was that like last year, seeing those two get drafted in the first round?
It's special, especially, you know, I got an opportunity to play with them for, you know, a year each, get to know the guys. And whenever I see, I like watching guys succeed. And so when you have two guys go in the first round, you know, I think I helped them out a little bit, especially their freshman years, just get the ropes. And so just, it makes you feel like a proud older brother, I guess.
George, how's CJ doing? You know, it's not easy. There's only a certain amount of jobs for that position in the NFL. How is he kind of going through this and trying to just kind of hang in there?
CJ's doing a great job. I know CJ, one of the most competitive people I've ever met. He is the most competitive person I've ever met in my life. And so when you have a guy like that, you know, obviously he wants to be playing every single snap. But, you know, if he can't be playing, then that he's going to attack everything else. So whether that's, he helps me out with film, like, hey, this is maybe a look that you might get in the game. Like, you could do this on it instead of this. And he's always incredibly helpful. He still gets his reps in practice and everything like that. But just the mental side of it, he's always locked in. He's always attacking it. He's always ready for his next shot. And that's why I love CJ. He's always locked in, and he's always ready to roll.
George, I knew we were having you on today. I wound up at Panda Express for lunch, and I've got a very personal question here for you, knowing that you're an aficionado. Is it possible to go to Panda Express and not eat orange chicken?
Yes. It is. It's it might be frowned upon, but, like, see, I always get orange chicken, but, like, let's say there's two other things that I want, I'll always get a third entree because I like to eat Panda Express. So maybe just do that next time.
The third entree, that's the deal breaker for people with NFL money and people with talk radio money. Hey, before we let you go, and we appreciate you being so generous with your time here, we started talking about professional wrestling, and we saw you hanging out with Big E on SmackDown Live not too long ago and chugging the beer in the background. What's your first memory of pro wrestling?
My first memory of pro wrestling?
Yep, how'd you get reeled in?
I think I was at... I would have been pretty young. I'm pretty sure one of my older cousins had, I was either Monday Night Raw, I think it was Raw, or it was a pay-per-view, had something on. And I'm pretty sure one of the first things I ever saw was, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it was just like the glass breaking. And so that's why I've always been a fan of him. One of the very first things I ever saw was a Rey Mysterio match, when he's a legend too, so... But definitely Stone Cold was one of the first things I definitely remember. And then I remember The Rock from, Scorpion? No, it was from The Mummy. He was in The Mummy as the Scorpion King, and I watched that as well, and so I became a fan.
Well, as I said, you're living your best life. You're living married life now. Best to you and Claire, and we'll touch base with you down the road and enjoy your time back home.
Hey, thank you so much. And me and CJ will both be at the game tomorrow, so you'll definitely see us there.
All right, to George Kittle, back in his hometown of Iowa City, as he said, spent about a decade there between living in Iowa City and going to school. And talk about a guy who has really made things well for himself here, a guy who, when he first started out at Iowa, was sort of an afterthought, was more into the college scene than the college football scene. And then, as you heard him there, Tax Slayer Bowl was sort of where things clicked for him, and he decided he was going to dedicate himself to being a football player, and he's become a pretty darn good football player.
And guys, just, you know, the light bulb goes on at different times. He talked about, and I remember the Pat Anger story. I remember Norm coming out when Pat finally broke through and said, yeah, I had no idea what Pat was doing his first couple of years on campus, where his head was at. And I think we can all relate to that. We all kind of... I'm still trying to grow up, but it's different for every guy, but it's nice when you see that light go on for a guy who has just a lot of natural ability and then works on top of it to become as good as George has become.
I remember a game, I think it was in 2013, where they were playing Missouri State, and I was in the press box, and he stepped on the field. Maybe it wasn't for his first ever snap, but kind of a slender... tall, you could tell they wanted him to be a tight end, but they were lining him up as the deep threat at receiver, and he caught a 47-yard pass, and everybody in the press box was like, wait, who? Like, everybody was digging through the roster to find out who he was, and at that moment, if you would have told any of us that he would be the best all-around tight end in the NFL and be as good of a blocker as he is and as good of a pass catcher as he is, it would have been crazy. Even at the end of his career, I know his latter years at Iowa were hampered by injury, but the light bulb went on, and then he has found himself in a good spot in the NFL and a good system that shows off his skill set very, very well.
And he will be in the WWE when his NFL career is over. I have
him,
no doubt about that.
Gronk and Travis Kelce as a team. What do you think?
I'm thinking more. He may get Steve Manders there. We got to get Steve on the program at some point in time. He's doing the indie circuit, man. He's grinding.
He's at like that bar in Iowa City there. I've seen him and Pat Anger show up at that. You know, I see that stuff on social media. I got to imagine if that's not the lowest level, it's got to be close to the lowest level of wrestling. But a lot of guys have to start there, don't they? I mean, I don't know a ton about wrestling, but you got to have to work your way up.
You don't just hop in the WWE.
I remember fondly going to, I think it was the National Guard Armory in Clinton one night with my dad. in the late 80s took me to a wrestling show, and I wish I knew what territory or what circus it was. It certainly wasn't Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper, but it's funny watching George. He's just a childlike enthusiasm for pro wrestling and hanging out with Big E and coyly chugging a beer in the background of the TV broadcast. He really is living his best life right now. 626. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update from Alexander Lumber. And then Rob, Alex, and I'll take a little bit of a look at Middle Tennessee and whether or not they pose much of a threat to the Hawkeyes tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium. Back with more after this.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Come January of 2020, Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7. If you don't upgrade, the probability is very strong to get viruses. The audits that we've been currently doing, we tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced to know exactly where they're at in the process.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Workhorses run with us on a John Deere Gator and power through any job, anytime. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer today to save big on select utility vehicles like the Gator XUV 835M, now available for $500 off, or get $300 off the Gator XUV 590E. So what are you waiting for? Hurry into your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Run with us. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
6:29, we welcome you back in a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, joined by Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. Crowded booth here as a fourth member of the Friday crew joins us. Our producer, Kyle Mann, getting ready for some high school football tonight. Hopefully, it will not be impacted by any severe weather. Got a couple games coming up for you. He'll tell you about that and more on his final big board update. They're presented by Alexander Lumber. Check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Des Moines Register Executive Editor Carol Hunter penned another update to the story that ruled the week, saying that some of the paper's policies that led to Carson King being doxxed are being reviewed and reworked, but doubled down on her assertion that they had no hand in Anheuser-Busch cutting ties with King, although other reports and the timeline presented by King himself would seem to contradict that. She also mentioned that the reporter who published the story is no longer with the paper because of his own inappropriate tweets. For King's part, he provided an update that he's now raised more than $1.9 million. That's up from $1.1 at the time of the article's publishing earlier this week, and you can continue to donate until midnight on Monday. Former Hawkeye cornerback Greg Maben was promoted from the Bengals practice squad to the active roster. That gives the Hawkeyes 27 players on NFL rosters, right in the neighborhood of 10th most in the country. Another one of those former Hawkeyes, Packers lineman Brian Bulaga, left last night's game against the Eagles with a shoulder injury. The Rough Riders are getting their season rolling at the USHL Fall Classic, and after Robbie Newton had a hat trick yesterday to lead a 6-2 victory over Youngstown, they kept the strong start going with a 4-1 victory over Omaha. Newton scored again, as did Tyler Rollwagon, Jack Millar, and Nate Hanley. We've got some high school football action for you tonight after the show, and that's going to be Marion hosting Center Point Urbana on all three frequencies, followed by the KGYM Scoreboard Show, also on all three frequencies. And then tomorrow, we get started bright and early with the Big 12 show on the FMs at 8 o'clock, to be followed by our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa Middle Tennessee. We'll pick up coverage of Iowa State Baylor at 12:30 on the main gym before kickoff at 2:30, and then number 7 UNI is in enemy territory taking on number 6 Weber State on the FMs at 6. It's going to be a jam-packed Sunday as well, as throughout the day we'll bring you Redskins, Giants, Patriots, Bills, Jags, Broncos, Vikings, Bears, and Cowboys, Saints.
All right, Kyle, thank you very much. As we get ready to head into the weekend, we mentioned Before the Boom at 9 a.m. tomorrow on our FM frequencies, 107.5, 106.3, Middle Tennessee, MTSU, the Blue Raiders out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Rob, Alex, we'll talk about it a little bit more on the pregame show tomorrow, but this looks to be a complete and utter physical mismatch between Iowa and MTSU. And Rob, you've been around long enough to know that Kirk Ferentz likes to build his non-conference schedules in a certain way, and that last non-conference game is usually not exactly the stiffest of challenges, and this one fits the bill.
Yeah, it's often a MAC school at the beginning of that thing, and then Sun Belt, Conference USA, something like that. Mountain West. Have they played any Mountain West schools? I can't think. Maybe they have
or
haven't.
I don't think so. They've gone Sun Belt. Yeah. They've gone Conference USA. North Texas was here a couple years ago. But this $1.5 million they're paying Middle Tennessee to come north from Murfreesboro to basically show up and put Iowa through a workout.
And the rule of thumb is, if you're paying $1.5 million, you better not lose that game. You know, that's kind of the measuring stick. And this team is giving up 222 yards a game on the ground, which is in, I think, the bottom 10 of FBS programs. And outside of the quarterback, it can't run the football. So if you're playing a physical Iowa team, you can't stop the run and you can't run, you're in for a long afternoon. They may make a couple decent plays in the passing game with against Iowa's beat-up secondary, but I can't see them sustaining offensive drives.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And we've kind of discussed the betting line on this game somewhere around 24 points all week. And I've kind of said that this is going to be one of those situations where Iowa gets up big and maybe coasts a little bit because they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to move the ball. And I just don't see Middle Tennessee being able to sustain much success on offense. But I just wonder what type of complete performance we're going to see from Iowa. They're banged up. They know that Michigan is on the horizon next week. What foot forward are they going to put for this Middle Tennessee team that they know that they have big advantages over?
That's a little bit of a question mark. You think this is a little bit of a trap game here with Michigan next week?
Yeah, by definition, I think so. But you also have to throw the bye week in there. So, you know, that's a factor that if it's not exactly, you know, it doesn't come directly after Iowa State and before Michigan. So there's a little bit of a different dynamic there. But this team seems pretty focused. And I think we saw that at Iowa State when it dealt with all the delays and things that were going on there and still stayed engaged and focused on the task at hand. That gave me a hint that I don't think they're going to come out flat this weekend. You never know. They're college kids. That could be the case. Even if they do, I just don't physically see, and I'm sorry, Middle Tennessee people, I just don't physically see this being a game where Iowa can lose.
You think there's a Middle Tennessee person out there?
Somebody's out there.
They'll be there tomorrow. That's why there's 3,000 tickets remaining for tomorrow's game. I hope the band.
I don't think so.
You had to get out of here. You had to go down that road.
I think
they should have brought him. Then there'd be only 2,950 tickets remaining for the game tomorrow. Fill a couple seats.
Maybe they heard where they'd be sitting if they came up here. where the Iowa sits, the band, the so, opposing band.
So what is Iowa looking to get out of this game tomorrow, other than to get out of it as healthy as can be? I think the big story this week, not related to anything happening off the field, has been the fact that they didn't get as healthy as they wanted to during the bye week.
Yeah, and I've read and heard people speculating that if this was Michigan, some of these guys would probably go. And that may or may not be the case, but they get an extra week here, and that's a positive. You just hope, during the bye week, you're figuring, all right, some of these guys will get healthy, and then they lose Kyler Schott. So the good news is you have Cole Banwart coming back, who was projected as the starter at right guard, so you can slot him back in there, but then your depth is a little light. So, yeah, that to me is the biggest thing. I think you want to come out of here healthy, and I think, at least from a defensive perspective, don't give up big plays. They've been susceptible a little bit to big plays. We saw it against Iowa State, and even at times Rutgers and Miami of Ohio got them a little bit in the passing game. And I know they're banged up in the secondary, but some of these guys now have some experience. DJ Johnson, this is a good game for him. I would focus on him because Middle Tennessee does have some decent receivers. It's a good test for him because next, the week after that, whether or not Matt Hankins comes back, we'll have to see. But he'll probably see some time on the field in Ann Arbor, and obviously the degree of difficulty goes up quite a bit.
And I think that's the only sort of question mark for Iowa going into this game is you mentioned the receivers from MTSU. They have four receiver positions listed on their depth chart, and that tells you how much they like to spread the ball, spread the offense out and spread the ball, which is exactly what you have to do when you're that small and giving up that much size, not just to Power 5 teams, but even teams in your own conference. And in Conference USA, they're going to be one of the smaller teams in that conference. So can Iowa hold up in the secondary? I think MTSU will make some plays, like you said. There will be some times where they move the ball a little bit, sort of reminiscent of what we saw against Miami of Ohio, possibly. But I just don't think it's going to be all that sustained.
And can that smallish offensive line hold off AJ Epinesa, Chauncey Golston, and Davion Nixon? And
if I'm AJ Epinesa, I can barely sleep tonight. I just get me to the stadium, put me in the uniform, and turn me loose on those guys.
I also think Iowa would like to see if they can maybe in this bye week have built some depth on that defensive line. They haven't had to play a lot of snaps. I think it was 50-something against Iowa State. But that's going to change as the season goes on. I think that's one question mark we still have, after losing as much as they did off the defensive line last year. Can they build some depth there, particularly at defensive end?
How quickly tomorrow do we see some of the second and third wave?
That's a good question because you want to balance staying crisp and getting in a rhythm going into Michigan, but you also don't want to get anybody hurt. So, I don't know, 3-touchdown lead maybe, second half, mid-third quarter? I'll say somewhere around the mid-third quarter. That'd be my guess, unless it just gets really out of hand early.
And that would mean most likely an Oliver Martin sighting tomorrow as well. Are you surprised that he hasn't been used a little bit more? I know Brian Ferentz bristled a week and a half ago when the subject of Oliver Martin, he's, I'm not doing this again, talking about Noah Fant. But he did make a very salient point. Are you not happy with the production of the guys that are on the field? This is something we haven't seen in 21 years a whole lot of with Kirk Ferentz-led teams. They've got depth and quality at the receiver position.
Yeah, and pretty much all, the different types, shapes, forms of wide receiver, they have it covered. They have got different shapes and sizes, guys that can play different positions. And let's face it, I mean, Oliver Martin didn't get in here until the summer, and he's trying to learn, and I talked to Brian about this, he's trying to learn three different positions. So I think this bye week was probably really good for him to take a step forward. You never know where injury is going to hit there. Smith Marset's a guy that gets banged up quite a bit. He gets hit pretty hard and takes some hits in the return game. They'll use Oliver Martin as the season goes on, but
yes,
it's a good problem to have. They've got guys making plays.
Yeah, and it's sort of, I think that all the biggest point is he hasn't been here that long. he is still learning and trying to learn three positions, like you said, Rob.
And he didn't play much at Michigan, so it's not like he has a ton of experience.
He hasn't played that much football.
Yeah.
They're trying to ease him in a little bit. I do think that here shortly, it would be nice to see them kind of get him playing time when possible, when they can. Get him in situations where he can succeed, which is what they did early in the non-conference. I think he's going to play a factor before the season is over, but I guess that's just speculation at this point.
Let's do this. Let's step aside really quick, and when we come back, since there's not a whole lot of meat on the bone of Iowa, Middle Tennessee, we'll take a look around the rest of the Big Ten, because there are some intriguing conference games this weekend. The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, continues after this.
At Menards, save on your next project with 11% off everything. Effortlessly brighten your home with Dakota pre-finished decorative square-edge shelving. This 7¾-inch by 4-foot premium quality shelving can add a touch of color or blend seamlessly with your decor. Only $6.22 each after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything at Menards. Good through September 28th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
6:44, welcome back in. Final segment of the final edition of local programming here on KGYM this week. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Fridays by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for the next 10 minutes. And as we said going into the break, since there isn't a whole lot to discuss from an Iowa standpoint, let's take a look at the rest of the Big Ten this week, and I want to start with a game Alex and I have had some fun talking about, not necessarily on the air, but just around the office over the last couple days, and that's Lincoln, Nebraska, where College Game Day is set up tomorrow. The Huskers coming off a really embarrassing performance in Champaign last week, 5 turnovers, barely eke out a win by 4 over Illinois. Conventional wisdom says they should get absolutely drawn and quartered by Ohio State tomorrow. What do you think? You think the Huskers have a chance to keep this one close?
I can't. Their defense couldn't stop Illinois for the most part. How are they going to stop Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins? Maybe they can keep it. Maybe there's a what's it, 17? The spread? 17
yes,
and
yeah,
a half, something like that. It's going to. And Ohio State's defense is better this year. I can't. Not from what I've seen this, so far this year. I can't predict this to be a close game.
Well, how about another 17 points is a walk in the park compared to the 24 that Wisconsin is favored by over Northwestern?
Yeah, I've decided that I'm staying clear of Northwestern because this is where they get you. You're like, man, yeah, that's exactly. Terrible. Northwest, the Cats are terrible.
Just like they got you last week with, oh, 9.5.
I did the same thing in our picks on the site. I'm like, oh, 9.5, that's a gift. I wouldn't touch this thing. No way. Wisconsin's coming off a huge emotional victory over Michigan. Stay away. I mean, Wisconsin's clearly a better team. But I don't know if it's 24.5.
This is not one of Pat Fitzgerald's better Northwestern teams. I think that much is clear, though, this season.
It looks like a lot of the problems are on his offensive line, too. They're just not. And Hunter Johnson isn't what he was, you know, billed to be. He just doesn't look like he's ready.
No, he doesn't. That's the thing where you looked at him coming into going to Clemson. And I can't think of the class that he was with, but there are a ton of really, really good quarterbacks in that class. He was number one.
Yeah.
And he just has not developed as quickly as a lot of those guys. He doesn't. When I saw that TJ Green, before he got hurt, was right there in the race, you kind of knew something was a little bit amiss. And then the performance at Stanford and then the performance last week against Michigan State, he's not ready. And when that offense goes against a defense as good as Michigan State, and then what I think that Wisconsin is going to do to him this weekend, they just take way too many negative plays to be able to make up for it because they don't have an explosive offense. So that's a really bad combination.
Minnesota and Purdue in West Lafayette. I've got this game circled as sort of an early elimination game. And these two teams, I think it's very clear they're not in Iowa and Wisconsin's territory right now. They're probably not in Nebraska's territory talent-wise. Who winds up on top at Ross-Ade Stadium?
This one, to me, is the most interesting of the batch of games that we're looking at.
I'll say second most interesting. We'll get to my pick coming up in a little bit.
Iowa and Middle Tennessee State?
Yeah, no.
Because I don't think we know who either of these teams are yet. Minnesota and Purdue. And is Sindelar playing? I haven't checked that recently.
I'm not certain huge. Because there's been a little bit of a line movement in that game, and Minnesota's favored now.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that perhaps Sindelar may be out.
Yeah, see, that's huge because the Plummer kid did not look like he knew what he was getting himself into when he was out there the first time. Purdue's defense is banged up. I think the one thing that I've heard a lot about Minnesota, people that believe in Minnesota, is okay, they've had three really close games they probably would have lost last year, but they're finding ways to win. Is that building confidence? Does that mean they're growing as a team? I think this week we find out, especially if Sindelar plays, because he will put pressure on that defense.
Jeff Brohm has made comments that seem to hint that Sindelar may be cleared to play, but we'll wait and see. I'm intrigued by Penn State at Maryland this weekend.
Tonight, right?
Is it tonight?
Tonight, yeah. Yep.
I think that kicks off here in about 10 minutes.
This is one where this sort of rings like the Michigan State Northwestern game.
What's the spread
last
on this
week?
Thing?
6 points. Maryland's a 6-point dog at home against Penn State. And people are jumping all over Maryland. I'm hesitating a little bit because I know how good Penn State's defense is. And I saw how Maryland reacted to a really good defense in Temple, and I'm still wondering about them, how consistent they can be on offense.
And Penn State's off a bye, correct? They probably both are, now that I think about it.
They're both off byes.
Yeah, it's nice that they've done that this year. It seems like for the conference games, they're lining teams up off of byes quite a bit, so that maybe they do that all the time, and I'm just ignorant to it.
Maryland, a 6.5-point underdog, 200 plus 200 on the money line. The total in that game is 61.5 points.
That's weird.
That seems to me a lot of points, right?
Especially with Penn State only being a 6.5-point favorite, and Penn State having a really good defense. That's interesting.
Expecting
not that good of an offense.
No.
Expecting a shootout at the Shell, apparently.
Well, they think it's going to go into triple overtime, or?
Your guess is as good as, hey, I don't make the lines. I sometimes play them, and that just seems, that seems a little wacky to me.
I like Penn State, though.
You like Penn State?
Yeah, I think Maryland's a little bit, still don't buy Loxley at all. I don't have faith in him as a coach, and I think defensively, they certainly have, I mean, McFarland, they have some really,
and
Jackson's a pretty solid quarterback. They have some really good pieces on offense. I can't buy into Maryland, and I think Penn State's got a legit D.
The thing about Jackson that I think a lot of people learned when he was at Virginia Tech is he is a guy who just, he'll have a few good games, and he'll have that one stinker.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's tonight.
Yeah, and he has that one where you just wonder, whoa, where did that one come from? And it could be against a really good defense from Penn State.
What have we learned so far out of the Big Ten? I mean,
the Wisconsin's better than everybody expected it. Even though they played a couple patsies out of the gate, they showed against Michigan last week that I think they're the team. They look this year like they were supposed to look last year.
Do you think we learn anything from Rutgers, Michigan this week?
Whether or not Michigan can pick itself up off the canvas or not.
Because this is bad. I think we'd all agree Ohio State's the best team in the conference and Rutgers is the worst.
I think that's very safe to say, yes.
So, if they look sluggish against Rutgers, then we really might be seeing the beginning of the end of Jimbo in Ann Arbor, which would be a shame.
We have a poll question for you again today. KGYMRadio.com held over for a second day. Who wins the NL Central heading into the final week of the regular season? Weekend, that is. Cardinals or Brewers, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. And the high school game set to come your way tonight with Scott Unash on the call. Cedar Rapids, Marion and Center Point, Urbana, is in a lightning delay. So that game will not be beginning anytime soon. And we'll
lightning delays. We had some of those in Ames.
We did, unfortunately. So I'll leave things here in the capable hands of our KGYM studio team. And we will talk with you on Monday. Thanks for listening.